Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to
DJ
Mike.
I'm gonna beat that. on your floor, one tip floor, one tip floor,
come on,
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 one tip floor, one tip floor,
come on. I'm touching the feminine. I'm touching the feminine. I'm touching the feminine. Let it all out. Store Award Fall, May 19th. Grand prize, $1,000. The Ultimate House Grand March as a famous family. All houses must register no later than May 5th. Your mini grants include $500 for open to all performance, soft versus dramatic. Your team captains are Little James Khan, Little Rotten 007, Luke Ebony, Bloom Revlon, Beyonce Ebony. Mini grand number two, $500. Open to all runway team battles, the runway assassin. Team captain, Keith Ebony, Corey Chanel, Maurice Balenciaga, Honeycomb Dior, Dream Allure, Iman Balenciaga. Mini grand number three, $300. Femme Queen Scandalous Triple Threat, the Charlie's Angels, one breathtaking Carter, one sexy realness, and one sinister sex siren. Mini grand number four, $250. Femme Queen vs. Butch Queen, legendary performance, psychedelic madness. That's the second annual Baltimore Awards Ball. May 19th, address 851 Holland Street, Baltimore, Maryland. $30 all night. Tables will be fully stocked with refreshments and beverages. That's $150 in advance, $200 at the door. Doors open at 3 p.m., ball starts at 5 p.m. This is an early ball, so please don't be late. Contact Father David Chanel for tables and info. 443-220-3483. Again, that's 443-220-3483. The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Doors open at 5 p.m. Admission $30 all night. Location, Symphony Ballroom at the Blake Hotel, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Commentators, Icon Jack Mizrahi and Icon J Manolo Blahnik. DJ, Legendary Von Allure. Grand Prize, $1,500. Butch Queen Realist with a Twist. Mini Grand Prize, $500. Butch Queen Vogue Fest. Mini Grand Prize, $500. Butch Queen European Runway. Categories include male figure versus female figure. Two trophies. One cash prize of $250. Butch Queen Face. One trophy, one cash prize of $250. Open to all, foot and eye. Male figure versus female figure. Two trophies, one cash prize of $250. Open to all, team treatment. One trophy, one cash award of $300. And 13 other $100 categories. The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012, Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of Emergency Show, Episode 12, where tonight we will be talking about respect, respect within the ballroom scene, as well as, respect from within the ballroom scene, from individuals to, the respect among families, the respect among each other. Things of that sort. I'm trying to get everything in front of me now. I'm sorry for you guys to think that, the show starts late and everything, but as you guys know, I work and I get home, around this time, and I'm throwing everything down to get to a computer and a phone to get the show started for you guys, so I do apologize. But tonight we'll be speaking about, the youth versus the leaders versus the leaders, family versus family, people who have lost respect and value of respect within themselves. We also will touch upon where is the respect from our ladies and for our ladies. The femme queens of today and those of yesterday, what is the difference? And have the femme queens of today just lost their feminine side? You know, are they not acting like ladies? And is this why the, you know, community does not embrace them anymore? You know, are they getting out of character? And, you know, the back and forth lashes among sisters, you know, back and forth between the femme queens attacking each other. You know, bottom line is, where is the respect within our community? Hello, chat room. How are you guys doing? As always, you guys are here to help me, and I want to say thank you. You told us to get up at next time, get your co-host to start. They don't start the show for me because not everyone has access to this, so I'm sorry. But that's why my cue plays all the music for you guys for a while before the show starts. So, you guys are crazy. Tonight we will be bringing on a panelist of people to speak about the topic. We also will have some of the individuals from the North Carolina All Awards this Saturday, May 5th, that will be talking about the event, answering any questions that you guys may have in reference to the 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. Again, that is this Saturday. And also, there is an aftermath on Sunday for those of you who are in town, and they will be answering any questions. I know Marcus is coming on the line, as well as some others, if I'm not mistaken. So if you guys are going to North Carolina this weekend, you may want to tune in or get people to call in and tune in as you guys are getting prepared. I know people are already starting to travel in reference to North Carolina. And also speak about some of the categories that are at hand, the grand prize, the $1,500 for Butch Queen Realness with a Twist, as well as your $500 Butch Queen Beau Femme, and some of the other highlights, European Runway for $500, Open to All Best Dress for $250, but an eye for $250. There's a lot of categories up there and a lot of amount of money that is going to be given out. So please, this is your opportunity to call in and listen to the show and listen to the promoters of the event as they can explain or answer any questions that you guys may have. Because you know what, in all honesty, I am so tired of people walking categories and not reading the damn flyer. And then they get up there and they look a mess and wonder why they're getting chopped. When in all actuality, I think people should read, listen, go to the archives, listen to the commercials, so forth and so on to understand their category. That's another problem we have. Why aren't houses, there should be like a liaison in each house or a secretary that can go over detailed information on each category and explain it to these people. So bottom line is you don't go up there looking like a fool and then disrespect the judges. And again, that's what's nice about talking about disrespect. All the drama with respect, even the commentators attacking judges, judges attacking commentators at these balls, just blatant out disrespect in front of so many people. I mean, enough is enough. Where it's just a lot of drama. So let me see who I have on the phone lines. If you guys are on the phone lines or are listening from a computer, please press 1 if you want to tune in for tonight's topic. If you want to be on the panel, shoot me over an instant message on Facebook. I'm waiting for a couple of people. I just seen some of my panelists that are on the line right now. I'm going to be bringing them on individually. And we also will be waiting for the promoters from the North Carolina Awards Ball to come on, and that should be up shortly as well. But let's go to the panelists and see how everyone is doing. And again, I want to say thank you guys for tuning in. and also being patient. Again, I can get off of work late, and, you know, I just want to say thank you. Before we go any further, let's bring on some of our panelists.
Hey, Jasmine. How's it going? I heard you just came in from work, so I know what that could be like. How's it going?
I'm fine. I have a headache, but I'm fine.
Well, hopefully all the listeners and callers can carry the show tonight where you won't have to do as much work as you usually have to do.
Well, that's the good thing about the show. The panelists and the callers and everyone always pretty much takes control, so... That's a good
topic that you chose for tonight, because it's very important for us to start hearing some of the nonsense that people are tired of putting up with, you know, because there's just so much nonsense, and the nonsense that's going on, it causes you to be stressed out. You come out for an evening of fun, and you wind up leaving with a stress factor.
That is true. And you've been doing it for many years now. Would you say it's changed over the years?
I think it's gotten worse.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With
and I'm
the
glad that you're on. Yeah, it definitely is. And I'm glad you're on here because you always bring that, you know, that knowledge and that experience over the years. You know, I'm sure you known back then the femme queens that had so much respect. They were treated like queens and princesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now we, you know, the femme queens just, you know, they're just looked at, you know.
Happened is that people forgot that the history of balls were never about the butch queens.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about the femme queens. It was all about watching.
Of balls definitely has changed, about the femme queens, about the creativity,
mm-hmm.
about the family, about the people being united. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
constantly changing. We have a lot of people who are pressing one. Let me bring everyone else on and let's see what some of these other callers have to say. Maybe they want to sit with us. The next caller we have is Vonna from Detroit. She's always with us. Hey, Vonna, how are you?
Hey, Jasmine, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I've been in from work, so I am here, though.
Okay. And we also have someone else who's always sent me a lot of messages on Facebook, and I asked her to sit with us tonight because a lot of the messages she sends over during the State of Emergency show are some of the questions that she brings up to the panel, and she has so much to say, and, you know, in a positive way, and, you know, she's very passionate about, you know, her concerns and stuff with the ballroom scene. She's not affiliated with the house or anything like that, but she is a frequent listener. Her name is Tanya. Hey, Tanya.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hey, Tanya. How are you?
Hey, Tanya.
Fine.
How's it going?
Fine.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya, for being a part of the show tonight.
Sure.
So before we get into the show, I am going to look for the promoters of the North Carolina Awards Ball. And I got to remember where the numbers are. But I have a couple of people that are that have pressed one. So let me see if there's any of them. 704. Okay. Marcus, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Marcus.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So let me see if anybody else. I think we have Econ is on. Econ, you're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine. Hello, Aaron, everyone. How y'all doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good.
And I think that's it for now, Marcus and Econ. I don't see nobody else's numbers.
Hold on one second.
Let's see. Let me go to these callers real quickly. Private caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Maybe not tonight. 204-416, you're on the air. 240-416, you're on the air.
I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you. Do me a favor and press 1 so you can get out of the host queue. And if you want to tune in to the panel, just press 1 again for me, okay? And 415-564, you're on the air.
Yeah, what it do? This is Father Valentino on the West Coast.
Hey, Father, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I was just calling to check and see how your show going tonight. You know, is it going to be rude and all crazy, or is it going to be people really talking about some positive, serious shit?
Well, it's going to be very positive and no rudeness or any of that drama.
Yeah, that's what's up. Well, I just want to, you know, first give a shout-out to my House of Valentino, you know, all over. They just killing it. And say, you know, I see a lot of people nowadays, they ain't doing roots like they used to back in the days. You know, they done killed it off, you know what I'm saying? And they, you know, it's a lot of these youngsters. They so disrespectful to cats like myself, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I'm 40 years old. You got cats running around 20, you know what I'm saying, 19, talking to me like dirt, you feel me? And a lot of other cats, too, on the scene. And that's where things is changing at, you feel me?
And that's what tonight's show is about all the disrespect and, you know, especially with the younger generation towards the older, from the old, you know, the leaders battling against the leaders, and that's what tonight's all about. So I want you to sit right there for me. We're going to talk to Marcus and Econ about the ball for a little bit, and do me a favor, Father Valentino, press 1 for me again, and then if you want to come in the host queue and answer any questions or touch up on the topic, press 1 for me and I'll bring you on. But let's dedicate this time right now to Marcus and Econ. So you guys go ahead and we'll take it away.
Well, Jasmine, could you also see if 980-253 is on the line? They pressed 1. That's Tim Chanel. Tim Chanel.
I don't see that number. I don't see them have pressed 1. Everybody that's pressed 1 is on the line. So tell them to press 1 again.
Tim, press 1. Okay.
Nobody's pressed 1 yet.
Okay, maybe he'll call it all back in. Econ, you want to start?
Well, that's fine, yeah. Well, first, Jasmine, as always, let me take the opportunity to thank you for allowing us to come on to, you know, answer any questions and to address anyone in reference to the ball. We definitely want to, again, just thank you for allowing us to come on. And thank all the listeners for being on to listen. As everybody knows, we have definitely worked very hard to prepare for the 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. So we are very excited and looking forward to this weekend event, to include the aftermath that's going on Sunday. So it's a lot going on. We've been around and definitely promoting and passing out flyers and talking with individuals. So at this point, everybody's pretty much aware of the categories and everything. I'm sure Marcus is going to add in, too. I just want to definitely stress that the doors open at 5, and the ball is slated to start at 6 with the awards presentation, LSS. So everyone pretty much knows that our reputation in Carolina is that we do start our balls in the early event. So we just ask everybody to definitely be on time and make preparations to be in the area so we can get everything started.
Okay, chat room, if you guys have any questions for Marcus or Econ in reference to the Carolina Awards Ball, please send them over to me and I will ask them. If you guys are on Facebook and not attached to Marcus or Econ, just send me over your questions and I will ask them for you as well. So, again, you guys have better understanding of the categories, how you are supposed to bring it, as well as any information on the location or anything like that. And like they said, this ball is a earlier ball. It's not in wee hours of the morning ball. The doors will open at 5. Awards presentation begins at 6. And LSS begins at 7 p.m. So please be on time. So go ahead, Marcus.
Okay. Yeah, so we've talked about the times. The ball this year is in Uptown Charlotte, which is what we consider a downtown area. It's at the Blake Hotel, which is at 555 South McDowell Street. We are attached to the event is going to be attached to the convention center and the hotel. So for those who are seeking to make hotel arrangements still, there are a few rooms left. You do have to call the hotel directly and speak to in-house reservations to make the room to get a room. There are very, very, very few left. But if you do need a room for Saturday, Friday, or Sunday, you can. That they will honor the Carolina Awards rate and just ask to speak to in-house reservations. The rooms are really nice, and it also this hotel is going to play host to the one of the host hotels for the Democratic National Convention coming up in the fall. So, you know, we're going to be in, you know, a boutique style hotel. So everybody come on the best behavior.
All right. Did you say Tim's number is 980253?
That's correct.
Hey Tim, you are on the air.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey,
okay. Great. So the highlights of the evening, of course, is definitely grand prize for the $1,500. We're going to do the twist. Some of the questions we kind of gotten asked, just making sure that your effect, the Carolinas, especially for grand prize awards, definitely judges the effects, you know, really, really, really critically. So make sure you follow the category to the T. You'll get scored for your realness. You'll come back and score for your twist, and then you'll go into your battles. And also just want to remind everyone, the grand prize will only go to one person. There will be no taking it as a house. So if there's one, you know, if there are five house members at the end, you guys will have to battle. One person will be crowned the $1,500 winner, and y'all can do whatever y'all want to do with the money after the fact. But they will have to battle, and there will only be one winner for grand prize. So let's make sure if it happens that way, let's not be surprised on Saturday. Did y'all want to say anything about grand prize, Econ or Tim?
No, you explained it. That was good.
Can I
ask you a question?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is RR. with the grand prize, if it comes down to, say, five people from the same house for the grand prize, and it was very nice and smart of you to say that they would still have to battle for the cash, this is the time for those five house members to not just slack up and think, oh, we got this, but this is your time to shine individually to show the audience that you are a great participant and you are a master at your craft in that category. Don't be afraid to battle your house brother. Because at the end of the night, you know, the battle is already won because you guys are going to wind up splitting it, but you might as well leave the audience with a really nasty throwdown battle. So make sure that if it comes down to two people or whatever the case may be from the same house, give the audience what they came to see. Give them a battle.
Correct.
And also,
invite me to proceed.
All right. And I was just going to say, all right, this is Econ. Yeah, that's a very good point you just made. And as we want to stress, it is very important for people to know, like you just said, they are going to have to battle down. So we don't want anyone to get to the ball. And if it happens to be five or six members from the same house at the end, we don't want it to be any issues because it has been stated and put out in the literature here that, you know, you will have to battle down to only one winner can walk away with the cash prize, regardless of what you decide to do with it.
And also, you did mention about costumes. They're going to be judged on their costumes as well.
Correct.
On the effect.
Yes. And we've had quite a few calls nervous in that. And just to make sure everybody is clear, of course, the part one is coming in realness as a summer Olympic sport. Okay, so people want to make sure that they really do their research and understand where they're coming in any country other than the U.S. So it's important that they you know, understand that. And then for part two, they have to come back as a dainty figure skater. Now, one of the common questions that people have asked is, well, do I have to be a female figure or can I be male? We didn't say whether which one you had to be, as long as you're a figure skater, whether you're male or female figure. But you have to be dainty. There was no dainty, in other words, for cunty, you know. So that's what
so
I'm
even if they
for.
Come as a male figure skater, they still have to have a touch of femininity in them?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. Well, most male figure skaters are pretty what's the word, pretty cunty anyway. It's kind of like,
right,
you know, if you just, right, so it just kind of comes with the territory of, you know, them being a figure skater. So just make sure for those who are doing that, you know, just make sure you, we encourage you to pull up your pictures, print them out, you know, just come back with some, you know, some type of reference, because we are preparing the judges to, you know, be aware of what the category is calling for. But again, there are different versions, like a male figure skater outfit may look a little different than a female figure skater outfit, and, you know, they might be thinking one thing. So as long as you have your proof and be able to substantiate yourself, you'll be fine. You know, this is for $1,500, so let's not take it lightly.
And because it's $1,500, when you guys put these costumes together, make sure that those hot glue gun marks don't show, and, you know, if you have to hand stitch, that the thread is not showing and the drapery is not all frizzed and frazzled. You know, we see these figure skaters on TV. Those costumes have been perfected for months. So make sure you don't leave any bugle beads, rhinestones, or sequins on the floor.
Right. And,
I forgot. I'm not judging. I'm sitting here like, oh.
Well, no, you're making very good points, Ari. We appreciate it. And I'm just... to caveat what you just said, we also want to remind everybody, not only is it for grand prize, but for any category, as a reminder that all effects must be completed prior to entering the ballroom. So glitter, spray paint, and face paint, and things of that nature would not be allowed. So if you're coming in to try to finish up your effect inside, those items would not be able to be brought into the venue.
Mm.
All right.
Good
correct.
Point.
All right, so the next category is Butch We Invoke Femme for $500. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and talk about that for a little bit.
Okay. Well, this category is basically you have two options to get your tens. The first thing we'll let you know is that there are no specific requirements for dress code for this category, so you can wear anything you choose to. But let's remember, this is an awards ball, so we want an awards ball-worthy effect. To get your tens, you have two options. You can either spin into a dip and get floor performance, and the judges will solely score your spinning into a dip and your floor performance, or you can catwalk, duck walk, and give hand performance. You'll be brought out separately, so we're going to bring out everybody who's doing option one, and then they'll get their tens, and we'll bring out everybody who does option two. They'll get their tens, and then we'll split you up based on, you know, you identifying yourself as a star, statement, or legend, and then we'll battle down for the three trophies, then there'll be one cash of $500. Pretty simple,
okay.
Right? Okay. Okay. Tim, you want to talk about European Runway for the 500?
Butch Queen European Runway 500. Small versus tall versus big versus legendary. We're going to split that up four different ways. It's basically bring it from your country or you know, religion, and we actually want you to have a shady prop. So it's sort of like shade. A lot of people are just thinking it's straight shady runway. It is shade runway, but you will actually be just walking runway. So you will have to get your tens, you know, walking runway. But during your battles, we want to see how shady you are to your opponent. Not anything that will be flammable, light them up, or anything like that, but as in the category how they used to do it back in the day.
So
right.
Basically,
so you can hit a bitch with a pie, and she'll be okay.
Yeah, I was going to say you need to really simplify that, because a lot of times people can get carried away. I think it should be, you know, with a touch of shade with no touching.
Correct. Like your shady runway doesn't mean you have to actually, like, you're not going to actually like be hitting them or nothing like that.
Or pulling
your
out their wig and stuff like
could
that.
Could be your runway. If your runway is shady by itself, that's, you know, Byron Milan is one good shady runway. You know, he's nasty on the runway. So your prop could be your prop, but shady runway, we still don't want you touching nothing that's going to get you into a fight. We just want it to be shady to give the ballroom scene a little bit of action as you're walking.
All right. And adding to that, we went inside the our Walking Wonders group, and we posted on the awards ball and just telling everyone to answer the questions. But as they stated, flammable items, you know, no mace, no stun guns, no knives, no blades. You know, anything of that nature is not acceptable on the runway. You actually would not even be able to get into the venue with that. So, you know, we gave suggestive items not to be limited to, but to include, you know, large flags, large suitcases, banners, you know, things of that nature. You know, mm-hmm. there's tons of things that you can use. Somebody asked, could we use marbles to throw on the floor as they're walking me? We don't want you to use anything that could potentially cause harm or danger to your opponent. And as R.R. said, you know, definitely no touching. If you a true roommate diva knows how to throw shade
without touching
their opponent.
Right. And it should be, you know, European runway should be a wicked walk with a shady attitude and a wicked, nasty prop. That's it. That's all you need. You know, you can have a water gun. You can have the spray string, you know, things of that nature. Things that's not going to cause any damage, but it's all in fun, you know.
Right. That's what we're looking for.
You know, you can have a bag full of confetti and throw it at them, you know, stuff like that. Things that can be swept up after you walk.
Correct. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Y'all gonna make me get on a bus.
Come on down. So the next category is best dress for $250, male figure versus female figure. We're asking you to bring a chic look and kind of inspired by your trip to Vegas. And we're just asking you to don't forget the casino chips that you were able to cash in. So, you know, everybody, you know, best dress look, but you know, keep in mind that you're not going to. You're basically going to a casino, so you know the looks that they have at casinos. Foot and eye is $250. Current pieces are required. Streetwear is $300. It's calling for one high fashion streetwear, one urban streetwear.
Can I ask you something in that category? I'm only asking questions that may come up later, so I don't want to take up too much of you guys' time, but are we looking – you said current pieces and no repeats, right?
Well, we don't have no repeats on here, but I would hope for an awards ball of this magnitude people would come with something they haven't worn, especially for – you know, foot knives rarely – for, you know, money anymore. So
that was
that
was old school under the table kind of shade. that was for your clarification. That's what that was.
So hopefully everybody went and got something new and exciting to bring out, because I hear this category is actually supposed to be really, really, really hot that night. So we're looking forward to seeing, you know, all the foot and eye people come out and play, all the ladies. All the girls come out and play.
A couple other notes too, Marcus and Tim for the S&M. Just want to remind everyone that other than grand prize for part two, productions or CDs are not allowed. So I know a lot of times people get in their name, I want to play my production CD. Okay, only for part two. For the grand prize will be the only one we allow that for. So I don't want to set anybody up for the okie doke, but there'll be no production CDs.
Right.
And of course, there will be a cash bar.
Did you say you didn't want to set them up for the okie doke?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to set them up for the okie doke. You know, a lot of, you know, we, you know, people get promoted to get up there.
I haven't heard somebody say that in a long time.
You know, promoters will get up here and tell people no production CDs. People will get to the ball and have their CDs ready to play, and you think we didn't mess them up for their look or their effect or their, you know, category, and we don't want to set nobody up, so.
Right,
other things to notice, Butch Queen Schoolboys, we hope that you're preparing and you're learning your state capitals, because you will have to get your tens, you'll have to be dressed in a blazer, dress shirt, a pair of khakis, and a necktie without a book bag. So please don't throw in a book bag. And you're going to get your tens, you'll be asked to name the state capital of one of the 50 states randomly. If you answer correctly, then you'll be scored on your realness. So it doesn't matter how real you are. If you don't know your state capital, the night's over for you. A lot of people were looking at the Butch Schoolboy Realness category. You know, that's separate for, you know, Butch, you know, Butches only. So, you know, Butch Queens, I hope you're preparing for the proper category and, you know, are familiar with how to read the flyer, because, you know, they are two separate categories that night.
Now, when you say a blazer, does the blazer have to have a monogram, or does it have to just be a regular blazer?
Just has to be
buttons?
A regular blazer.
Okay.
It doesn't have to have a monogram on it. You know, we kind of,
we're kind of comparing it to the geographic bee, not really the spelling bee, but the geographic bee, where they kind of dress like that, and you know, that they're just having to actually learn something. You know, a few years ago at D Up, they had to spell words and had a spelling bee. And
well,
kind of
I think that's great. That's
momentum,
really good. Yeah,
kind of
stretch their
the
mind
with the category. Yeah.
Your streetwear is another major category that's for $300, correct?
Right. Yeah, we kind of mentioned that. Team streetwear, one high fashion, one urban streetwear. You know, we'll battle that way and we'll kind of go, you know, definitely be hot. Old Way versus New Way's $100, calling for you in a pair of classic Adidas and an I Love New York t-shirt. Sneaker versus sneaker is $100. We're just asking for a hot pair of sneakers. Just only please bring one pair of sneakers. Legendary Realness is male figure versus female figure for $100. We want you to, on the microphone, give your, you know, basically your accomplishments of why you're legendary, and, you know, the judges to score you accordingly.
Butches and Trans Men are for $100.
Yeah, actually, Butch Realness is for $100, and then Trans Men Realness is $100. That category was actually sponsored by Legendary Shady Prada, so they're actually being split, so they're $100 each. We have Trans Man Sex Siren, Trans Man Body, Butch Performance, Butch Face. You know, the Butches, the Butch women and trans men scene definitely wanted us to try to accommodate them more at a major ball. This is your opportunity to come and showcase your talent on the main, you know, on the mainstream floor, where you'll be judged fairly and you'll have the opportunity to compete. So this is your opportunity. We've given, you know, our flyer's been out 6 months, so we definitely look forward to you guys coming out and playing and winning, you know, on the mainstream floor.
Okay.
And most important, I was going to say, most important, please bring decorum with you, because they sound like they really, really are going all out for this event, and it makes no sense for them to have such a fabulous venue and hotel and everything, and, you know, you come there and you destroy the place. So try to respect the things that they've said as far as no spray paint, no, you know, coming to the hotel and being ghetto about it and all that. Just, you know, have some decorum.
Right. This hotel has been very accommodating to us. They've, you know, they're willing. They've changed the bathrooms around for us to be able to accommodate so we can be gender neutral that whole weekend. They're accommodating us in regards to, you know, the timing, because they usually don't have events going this late. So they're really, we want to make sure that this is a great place. So next year, you know, last year we had everybody going like 45 minutes out or 30 minutes out of the city. This year you're in downtown. For those who are traveling here, it's right here. So we want to be able to use this for, you know, future years, because it's a great venue and, you know, a really accommodating option. And we want to make sure that we're welcome back to this place.
And it's very centrally located, too. So for those that are flying in or that are catching the bus or anything, you're centrally located in a good area, so you're not having to travel too far. So, again, we do stress the importance of everybody please arriving on time, because the ball will start. A couple of categories left, and then I think we almost finished with that, but we didn't mention Butch Queen's Face, so that is for $250 as well, bringing in your ancient Roman attire look. So I think a lot of people are really excited about the Butch Queen Face category for this night. And Butch, you want to add to that?
Oh, no.
Oh, and Butch Queen Sex Iron, also for $100. So three trophies, one cash. So we're just asking you to bring your, you know, favorite aphrodisiac in hand to the judges. So.
I think that's pretty much the ball. You know, the categories are pretty self-explanatory, but if people have questions, as always, we just ask everybody to respect the judges panel, the panel that we believe in, and we trust their judgment, and, you know, that night, you know, decisions are final. So we need to make sure that everyone just kind of accepts that and, you know, just step your game up. There will be an aftermath the next night. So if it doesn't work out the first night, you have another option. And if it doesn't work out that night, you have the following week other places. So let's just come with a good attitude and, you know, it'll definitely be a night to remember. Definitely.
Well, this club has definitely been promoted for over the past couple of months, so there should definitely be no excuses on anything because you guys have been promoting it very well over the past few months. So bottom line is, you know, bring it correctly and, you know, respect. And that's what we're talking about tonight as well. Respect what is happening. Respect the promoters. Respect the panel. And respect yourself when you get up there. Don't look like a fool. But the phone lines are open for anyone that has any questions for our panelists right now. Also, if you guys don't have the flyer, which you should have, hit me up on Facebook and I can send you a copy of it. Or if you're in the chat room and you need to touch up on any of the categories real quickly, send it over to me and I'll send it over to you. But we do have a couple of callers real quick. And then I want you guys to talk about the aftermath really quickly as well. And then we'll go into the show. But let's do a caller. I do see two people that pressed one. The first caller is 313-725. You're on the air.
Because I don't know how to play out. Who's calling?
313-725.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hey, Jasmine. Hey, everybody. Econ, all y'all. This is Keisha. I have a few questions about this nomination sheet. I have a few questions about the House of the Year. I didn't see no Mizrahi's. I didn't see no Cons. And I know I've been at majority of the balls, and they be in there deep and heavy, and I don't see them on a nomination sheet.
Well, anybody wants to, Econ, would you like to respond?
For sure. I mean, right, yeah, I will. So essentially, basically, in terms of the nominations for the awards ball, basically how it worked this year and how we've done it in previous years is we've, of course, sent our ballot nominations out to the houses, and we've allowed the houses to select two choices for each categories of the voter categories, which she mentioned House of the Year, which is a voter award as well. So the houses essentially can put down their own house if they choose to, and another house, or two completely different houses. And when we get the nominations in by the due date time, then we just take and we collect the most appearing names for the houses, and that's what gave us our top five. In the event of House of the Year, if we got a top place for the bottom two or three or whatever the case may be, we had to drop those names. So essentially, the houses of, for example, Prodigy and Khan would have made the list, but unfortunately, they tied with the lower number of votes for the individuals that sent in the nominees, so they didn't make it. So the most top appearing houses are the ones that made it.
So you mean to tell me that a house could be winning at every ball and every turn in it, and by the way y'all vote, other people vote, and they a house is not liked it, but win all the time and win most of the awards in other years, that and nobody picked them, they won't even be nominated for House of the Year. That's what y'all saying.
So basically, this year, unfortunately, and in previous years, that's how it's went. But we sat down at the beginning of the year, and we went over that with the different leaders that decided to come to the meetings, and that's how they all agreed to vote for it to go this year and previous years. So yeah, that's how it went.
So basically, this is a People's Choice Awards ball.
I mean, some people do view it as a People's Choice Awards ball or People's Choice votes. But, you know, in hindsight, what we've allowed to do was just allow the houses to have a voice. And, you know, they've kind of spoken, so that's kind of what happened.
Okay, and I have another question. Aaliyah Ebony now, y'all got her down for a new performance. And that's my niece, and I left her down. But she's been voguing since 2008. How did she get nominated for new performance, and she's been voguing since 2008.
Well, with that, the way we actually have for the nomination packet, 10 houses actually voted, and so if she's been voguing since 2008, she had at least 4 or 5 nominations. Some people may not come into their shine until later in their life. I know she's definitely traveled more
now
this year.
But
she's
it's not
posted
called,
her
but
YouTube
it,
clips.
But it's called new performance. It's not about shining or anything. It's y'all got on there for 2 years. Band performance for 2 years, and during that sobriety, she's been in it for 4 years, no matter if she's shining or not. And she was shining from 2008 because she was the only one who beat Oil in 2008, and he was of the year, and no one else beat him. So when she came out, she was shining. That was 2008 was her year, and 2009. So I understand how can y'all put her on there, but then you have someone like Bella, who hit the scene and hit the scene very hard, and people from everywhere talking about her, but she's not even up there, and she just came out and just made a big imprint from state to state. People were talking about her, and
yeah,
y'all didn't acknowledge her or put her up on there for
Bella's one of those exceptional ones to where she's actually a strong contender for the actual larger award, which is Female Figure Performance of the Year. She definitely has significant wins, and you know, I think that sometimes, you know, when people are nominating, they kind of look at that, well, she's probably going to win this or things like that. So I mean, sometimes, you know, names are sometimes omitted when people are voting or you kind of deciding, you know, they just don't remember. But she's Bella, you know, definitely had a great and strong year. She's a strong contender for Female Figure Performance of the Year, and we look forward to seeing the results come out, you know, Saturday night.
Okay, Keisha, thank you for calling in. I'm going to put you on hold. Listen, tonight I don't want it to be about, you know, all the office. You know, let them promote the show, and then as far as the winners and the nominations and all the rest of that stuff, save that for the recap on Monday. But because we do have a show to get to tonight as well. So thank you so much, Keisha, for tuning in. But I do look forward to hearing you on Monday. 434-975, you're on the air.
How y'all doing tonight?
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
All right. I just have a question about All-American Runway. What is the category caller for on Saturday?
One moment. All-American Runway is asking you to showcase your talent as though you were on a runway show in Scotland. So we're asking you to model a kilt. So we're asking you to come with a masculine stride and a Scottish kilt.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you for calling in, caller. Next caller, 214-477. You're on the air.
This is J-Rock. I was just waiting for the show to start.
Thank you, J-Rock. I'm going to put you on hold until we get to the show. And Jason, okay. I also see you on the line as well. And the next caller is 803-447. You're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. This is Keisha again. And what you did to me was so disrespectful because you asked me to have any questions about this show to speak my mind and speak what I have to say. And when I did, you cut me off and put me on hold and said, this is what the show is not about. But this is something that needs to be exposed because they're getting on here and acting like everything is peaches and cream in the Carolinas, where I'm from, where I helped build and work my motherfucking ass off to get where it's at, to be put on hold and disrespected. They'll be put on hold and disrespected, and they're sitting on here and acting like everything peaches and cream, but it's really not. Carolinas is in an uproar right now. And everyone needs to know that.
Okay, we understand that, Keisha, but we're not talking about that. Let them promote the ball and then save it for the recap on Monday. But tonight there's too many people waiting for the show to start. So I'm only putting you hold, not out of disrespect, but just to let them get past this so we can move on to the show. So please don't take it personal. But that's what the recap is for on Monday, okay? I put you on hold again, and I'm sorry. Anyone else on the phone lines that does want to press 1 to tune in for the show, as far as any questions for the category, please press 1 so they can answer any last-minute questions or reference to the categories, and then we're going to move on. Did you guys have anything else to say really quickly because no one has pressed 1?
No problem. I just want to give a little information about the aftermath. The aftermath is Sunday at 2600 West Trade Street. This ball is starting at 10 p.m. It will end at 2 a.m. It's $20 to enter, $1,000 house with the most trophies. There's a $500 team runway category, battle of the sexes. So your team must be a complete one gender. So it's going to be male figure or female figure. One team will win the $500. And the $1,000 house with the most trophies. The only thing that are required for those categories are that you implement a color
from the game board of the Monopoly board. It doesn't have to be head-to-toe. You just have to implement the color in some type of manner. Let's just come and have a really good time all weekend. If people have questions, they can give us a call. You know, we've pretty much been getting calls, you know, all day and all night. We welcome those. You know, we appreciate you guys supporting us. Look forward to seeing you guys in Charlotte.
Okay, we have one more caller, and then we're moving on to the show for tonight. 404-853, you're on the air.
Hey, just one quick question. What time the award ball is going to start?
The ball will start. LSS will start. Well, excuse me. The awards presentation will start at 6. LSS will start at 7. We will be into the first category by 8 p.m. So the judges panel will probably be set around 15 minutes to 7, and we'll be into the first category by 8. So for those who don't really want to see the awards, 8 p.m., you really want to be there. Keep in mind that, you know, in past North Carolina, you know, the line, we do, check everyone very thoroughly, so be prepared to go through the security line. So the categories, just come in time, and, you know, we'll have the categories posted, the order, once you arrive at the ball. So everyone needs to be on time.
All right, appreciate it, Jeff. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
No problem.
I have a question from the chat room. Hey, question. Can you ask Econ what kind of look they are looking for female figure performance? It says bring it in a what?
Harajuku glam. Yeah.
Inspired look, and there are 7 different types of styles. So what are they looking for? Because they don't understand.
Harajuku is like a very colorful, bright kind of, I don't want to say bummy look, but you Google Harajuku, you can actually go to, you'll see a lot of bright colors, you'll see mixtures of plaid and polka dots, and when I consider the glam part, I would reference you to Gwen Stefani on the red carpet. There's a Google image of her in the red carpet with her with some Harajuku girls and her version of a Harajuku glammed up set. So we're asking you to use your interpretation with, you know, to be creative along with kind of staying in the realm of things. So when we say Harajuku, we've given you a definition. You put what do you consider glamorous in it and kind of mix it together. And that's, you know, just to try something. You know,
right.
So you might see different colors because, you know, it's a colorful thing. But style-wise, you know, if you're thinking colorful, if you're thinking stripes and polka dots, you know, all types of shapes, you're going the right way.
Right, and staying in with context of the category of the flyer, you know, we're asking for you to give us a sexy performance, and then don't forget your heels. So whether, you know, you're wearing heels or whether you're wearing boots with a heel, just ensure that, you know, you have heels, so no flats, no tennis shoes, things of that nature.
Okay, I think we have one more caller, and then we're going to move on. I think this is one caller. 434-975, you're on the air.
Oh, I already asked my question.
Okay, do me a favor and press 1 for me so you can get out the host queue, and thank you. And also, I think, all right, that's pretty much it. All right, so you guys have anything else you guys want to say, touch up on before we close up with this?
I just want to say thank you again for allowing us to be able to go over this with everyone. And we're looking forward to seeing everyone in the Carolinas again this year for the event, and we're looking forward to an awesome, awesome time. So thank you.
Okay. It looks like you guys got your hands full with what's going on in the Carolinas. Really quickly, can you tell us in so many words, why is there such a big discrepancy when it comes to the Carolinas right now?
We'll defer that to Monday if possible.
Okay. Monday will definitely be the ballroom recap. And Keisha, I do apologize again for putting you on hold, but I just wanted to give them a little bit of airtime, but I didn't want to go back and forth as far as, you know, all the drama goes, as far as everything that's happening over there, but definitely save that for Monday. As far as, you know, discrepancies with other years, wins,
nominations, as well as anything else that does take place this weekend. Tune in on Monday for the weekend recap with Kelly and the cast members as far as this weekend goes. Everyone, please get to North Carolina safely. Have fun, and please, no violence. Guys, I'm going to put you on hold. Well, go ahead.
Hey, Jasmine. Just one last thing to add to that. You know, I know we're wrapping it up. We definitely, you know, will refer or defer those comments and everything from Monday. But I just will like to interject and just say, you know, in all honesty, you know, each year we strive to do better and better. We're not proclaiming to be no perfectionist. This is our fourth annual, but we definitely have worked hard through, you know, whatever we go through. We definitely work hard to put on a world class show. There will definitely be some things that'll be changing as the years are coming up. So we're still asking everybody to come and enjoy themselves and just know that it's a continual growing process and it will get better with time and things will be changing. So.
Okay, I think we have one more caller. I'm not sure if they're on the topic or not. 646-784, you're on the air.
It's me, Jazz Nirvana.
Okay, you're back. All right, guys. Well, I want to say
thank you,
Jasmine, so much. I'm going to put you on hold. I don't know if anybody wants to stay on the line in case we do get a caller later on in the show, but I'm going to put you guys on hold. Thank you so much. Have a safe weekend and a good one, and good luck, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So now we have Tanya. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, thank you, Tanya, for staying on. RR, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, J-Rock, you're on the air.
I'm here.
And Jason, you are on the air. We have Jason as well who's tuning in with us, and he actually brought up the topic earlier. That's why I ran with it. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
And also, Vonna, we are here. You're back on. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing,
okay. I know my sister. So much going on over here. And yeah, I can hear the beep. I can hear you. Yeah. Y'all too loud in that room. Let me mute the computer. All right. Let's talk about respect. Chat room. Wow, I did not expect this many callers tonight. Hello, chat room again. I'm sorry for the delay, but, you know, we wanted to get them, give them a chance to promote their event this weekend. So hello, chat room again, and to all the callers that are on the phone line, thank you for tuning in tonight to tonight's topic. Tonight we will again be talking about respect within the ballroom scene. Where is the respect within our scene, the youth versus the leaders? The younger generation versus, you know, against the older generation. The leaders against the leaders, you know, the icons and legends, they don't have respect for their fellow brothers or sisters, you know, for the status holders and things of that sort. The respect within families, you know, how families are so divided. You know, you have one chapter against another chapter or one title holder against another title holder. It's like, there's just no respect, you know. People have just lost the value of respect, even within themselves, because, you know, honestly, a lot of the answer can be because they don't respect themselves. So how the hell are you going to respect someone else? Where is the respect for our ladies? Why are the femme queens, female figures, femme queens, whatever you want to call them, but bottom line, why are the ladies, they're just so disrespected at this point. It's like they don't exist. They're not even looked at anymore. And is it because a lot of the femme queens have lost their feminine ways? They're still acting like butch queens. They're so arrogant. They're so masculine. They, you know, they want to be a lady, but they're always acting like a man. You know, is that the reason why this generation doesn't respect them? You know, the femme queens of today, and what is the difference between the girls of today and the girls of yesterday? You know, the girls years ago. So, Jason, I want to start off with you because you did bring up the topic earlier in one of the chat rooms. And I've been thinking about it lately anyway, so it was like, wow. So go ahead, Jason, talk about it a little bit on what's your opinion on some of this stuff.
Since a lot of people don't know me, I walked balls back in the day, but I chose to go the route of going to school. But I still have a respect for the ballroom because a lot of my brothers and sisters are still in houses. So I'm an outsider looking in on the outside part, as I've had conversations with you in the past, Jasmine, as an outsider looking on things that I would see back then to right now. When I came out, you respect your femme queens like they were women. You treated them like they were goddesses. The same way you would treat the women in your family, you treated them. If you were out, and I guess because I was a man before I was a gay man, if you were with me, I opened the door for you. If you had bags, I carried them for you. I treated you as a lady, and that's because that's how I was brought up. And that's how the men in my generation, some of them, treated the femme queens. But when the femme queens started just being outside and just shaking their titties, or you got a wig on, but you have a wig on and you want me to treat you and respect you as a woman, but you're still acting like a man and you're still doing manly things, you're confusing me. And when you get into a fight or you get into an argument with another female figure that's just like you, you're disrespecting her. And someone brought up to me and they said something in the post that I posted that they get frustrated when people, would you get upset if a white person calls you a nigger? Would you get upset if a straight person calls you a faggot? Well, I came out in school at 15 in front of my whole school that I was gay. And when I came out, the word faggot had no power to me because my mother told me a long time ago, words have power. And if you take the power out of those words, they don't mean anything. So you can call me a faggot. You can call me a nigger. You can call me whatever you want to call me. It's what I answer to. And if you want to be treated like a lady, then you act like a lady. I tell my nieces and my sisters and my family, call me old-fashioned, call me chauvinist. I don't think there are certain things that I don't think real women should do. I get offended when my sisters call each other bitches. So if I get offended when straight women disrespect each other, I'm going to get offended when I see my female figures calling each other fella or calling each other nigga or dude. Now, what you do in the privacy of your home when you're playing, yes, we all kiki and we cut up and we call each other bitch and girl or whatever. I do that with my butch queen friends. But to society, we already have stigmas on us. And if they see us fighting each other, that's just one more strike against us. And it disgusts me. I mean, I get offended when I see openly feminine men or young boys who are just coming out, and I understand that they have to express themselves when, and they do what they do, but that's a whole nother show in itself too. But right, to getting back on this topic, I just think that we're hurting, and when you're hurting, you hurt other people, and until you heal you, you're going to continue to hurt other people. Now what happened in that room? Yes, I kiki'd with the rest of everyone that saw it. But at the end of the day, when I went down and they closed my head and laid down and shut my eyes, I knew that in my heart of hearts what I did was wrong. And I'm not calling myself a hypocrite. I'm not backsliding on what I said. I'm not backsliding on the whole thing. Wrong is wrong. And that's why I made the statement that if you do one, you need to do it for all. And that's where the respect needs to start. We need to respect each other, just period.
I want to ask some of the, well, really quickly, did anybody have anything they wanted to say in reference to that? Tom, I'm going to start off with the panelists. Tanya, did you want to say anything about what Jason said?
He pretty much said everything in a nutshell.
Okay. RR?
No, he pretty much hit it, and that's, I feel the same way. You know, you want to be treated in a certain form and fashion. You have to carry yourself in a certain form and fashion. And at the end of the day, people are going to treat you the way you carry yourself. And if you carry yourself like a lady, you'll be treated like a lady. If you carry yourself like a butch queen dressed up like a lady, they're going to treat you like a butch queen dressed up like a lady.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. J-Rock?
Well, I mean, I'm like Jason. Last night, I was laughing and everything, But at the same time, I'm like him, but I've been asking that question. I guess with all this Backpage and all these different ads going up, you can see all this crazy stuff anyway. And it seems like when I had first, even before I came out, if I could just remember back as being a teenager, when you seen like a femme queen, even though everybody knew that they were originally a man, you still treated them like a woman. You treated them like a female. You know, nobody was like, oh, look at that dude or nothing. Because, like, even in the ballroom scene, when I think of Tracy Africa, I think of woman. When I think of Tanaya Pendar, when I think of all them, I think of women. Tanaya Pendar, I think of women. But then some of these, I wouldn't call them out, that's out now. I just don't look at them as women. I look at them as boys and planning wigs. Like, they don't, the old film queens, they knew they were women. They didn't want to be a woman. They already knew they was a woman. And then that's why when they grew up, they was like, I'm going to be what I know I already am, which is a woman. These new ones are like, I can be a deep woman, so I'm just to go turn it and become a woman. And that's why they're having so many problems with being a woman. And they're not getting the respect they need as a woman.
Okay. Vonna, did you want to say anything about that really quickly?
I'm amazed. I am awestruck. I am tongue-tied. Because what your idea of what I am as a woman or what I do or how I feel is my interpretation. My transition or any femme queen's transition is her personal transition, not what you butch queens think it is, not what you believe that a woman's supposed to act and how it is, because all women act different. No woman comes in one shape, form, or size. So however a girl chooses to act, what people don't seem to understand is it touches them to being judgmental. Because you believe that we are supposed to uphold this thing that you expect of us, and because you believe that a woman acts that way, that we should act this way. Now, if you get out of line, I'm going to beat you up. If you say something out of your mouth, out of the correct way to me, I'm going to say something back to you. And I still conduct myself as a woman. My ID still says female. I still go to work every day, and they still call me ma'am, her, and she. So however I choose to act, and however a faggot thinks that I'm supposed to act, doesn't mean anything to me. It's about how I believe I should act, because it's my transition at the end of the day, not yours.
Okay.
Jasmine.
Yeah.
I think they're getting a misunderstanding. What I'm saying is, okay, let me rephrase it, not woman, fish. I don't care if you black fish, ugly fish, ghetto fish, big monkey fish, as long as it ends with fish, you've done your job, which means that you could be ghetto fish and jump off and fight at everything, but I'm still looking at you as a woman. The film queens back in the day used to separate themselves from some of the things that the butch queens did. They came around and we lived for them, but then they separated themselves. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if they was, I mean, you could jump off, you can fight, you could do whatever you want to do, because there are many different kinds of women.
It's about not being judgmental. Don't judge anybody about what they do or what they choose to do. Every girl is different in their transition. It's a problem with people who are not in transition, who don't understand what it is to be in transition. It's a big difference. Some girls act certain ways. Different girls in different regions act different ways. Just because of how what you think might be a boyish act might be how the cunts act in their area. Who are you to say how we're supposed to act or carry ourselves?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying how you're supposed to act or carry yourself. I'm saying that back in the day, it's just how we looked at it was like a separation. It was just like a separation. It wasn't actually how you carry yourself. Because like I said, my mama herself, my mother, my real woman mother, will go out there and fight down with the best of them and slang and bang in South Dallas. But she don't act like a man. She acts like a woman.
What I'm saying is you have to understand that things change. In the 50s, women didn't go to work. Women didn't vote. Women didn't do a lot of things in the 20s. Women didn't do things. It's called an involvement of how people act. How you believe a person is supposed to act is not how power of people are supposed to act. They act according to how they feel and not according to how a mass majority say that they should act.
Well, that's why y'all going to keep getting disrespected by the police.
I don't give nothing. If they disrespect me, I beat them up.
Right. That's fine. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, okay, back in the day, butch queens didn't disrespect certain femme queens because they just separated themselves. That's what I'm saying. It was like a
a certain level of, I don't even know what to call it, that, that a certain level of respect that you gave a film queen because you live for her, and if somebody was to disrespect her, that film queen didn't even have to jump because all the butch queens would jump and say, don't disrespect her.
Right.
Even if she was a fighter. You know, I'm just saying it was like a separation that they separated themselves, not actually like how they act, because we can judge you on what type of woman you've become.
You can't judge
me. There was a certain way, a certain persona that they gave to let you feel like you couldn't even call them a man. You had to call them a woman.
To piggyback off of something that he's saying, I understand what you're saying, and by no means am I trying to be judgmental, because who am I to judge? None of us should be picking up rocks. And as in the words of Noxzema Jackson, none of us are going to run Miss Congeniality tonight. You're walking a ball, so you're still being judged. You're walking for realness of an effect of a woman. You're being looked at as a woman, but you're saying you don't want to be judged. Now, granted, yes, there are many different types of women. In Baltimore alone, you have Banji Cunt, you have Bougie Girls, you have all types of women, and some of these boys that are transitioning into women, they see these girls, they see the women on TV, and instead of getting into the mindset first of this is what I'm going to do, before you do anything, when you get ready to study to do for a test, you do your homework and you study. No one should just walk into anything blindsided and just wake up in the morning and say, okay, today is the day that I'm going to be a girl. If you do that, then you're foolish, because you had to take thought and some understanding into that, and that's why people say that you're supposed to make your transition. And what I've seen with this younger generation is that they're not taking their time. They meet somebody, they go to a ball, and they say, okay, you look cute as a girl. And the next thing you know, they want to go off somewhere, and they're and that's why you have these girls with the topic of last week getting silicone and doing all these things to hurt themselves and harm themselves, and they haven't took the time to understand. Now, you sound older, and I'm not being disrespectful. You sound like you're an older woman, and I'm respecting that. And because of that, you've taken the time to figure out who you are and what type of woman you want to be. You know that you're a strong black woman who's not going to be disrespected, and you can get down with the best of them. My mother could spit, and sometimes when she spit, men didn't even want to walk where she spit at. But that was my mother. And I grew up in a house full of strong black women, and at the end of the day, this is what I was told, that these are the things that women do, these are the things that men do. Women carry themselves as women regardless. My mother could cuss from Sunday to next Sunday. I'm not saying it was right, but she could cuss from Sunday to next Sunday, but she was still a woman, and she carried herself as a woman. Now, granted, yes, the women of my grandmother's generation, I didn't even know my grandmother smoked, because she would go hide in the bathroom and smoke a cigarette. I didn't find out my grandmother smoked till she died. And that's the kind of woman that she was. But these younger generation females need the older generation of females like Tracy and so many others to come back and sit them down and say, young lady, this is how a young lady acts. You can do whatever you want on Backpage. You can do whatever you want on Front Page, but this is how a young lady or a woman carries herself.
Okay, let's see what a couple of little callers, because a lot of people are pressing one. But I do have a question that I want to ask everyone, especially the boys that are on the air. I do want to ask a question. I want you guys, and I'm going to start with R.R. and then it'll go into J-Rock and Jason. Name me three things, not individuals, but things that you see the seven queens of today doing that discredits them as far as their femininity goes. I'm going to start with R.R.
Off the top of my head, they're hanging out with the wrong butch queens, because the butch queens are influencing them to act more of what their inside thoughts are than their outside appearance, and they're forgetting that when you hang around other female figures who are becoming women, you'll become more knowledgeable of what you're doing, and you'll stay into more character. if you hang around butch queens, you're going to still be a female figure, but you're not going to have the characteristics mentally of a female figure because you're only hanging out with butch queens. The other thing I think it is, too, is that a lot of the female figures today, they're not as feminine as they should be as far as their appearance and the attire that they wear. I think a lot of times that plays a part in how you act. If you dress a certain way, you'll act a certain way. And the last thing is, if you're really going through transition, you really don't have time to be hanging out with butch queens. You only have time to work, save your money, and finish your process.
Okay. J-Rock, name me three things that you see that are happening that kind of like you feel discredits them or whatever.
First and foremost, I think that the new femme queens, like I said before, they're not becoming femme queens because they felt like they were a woman. They're becoming femme queens when they should be drag queens. Just because you can turn it as a drag, then you become a femme queen. You don't even think you're a woman. You still think you're a boy. Back in the day, when a woman went through her transition, there was a reason why, because she felt like she was a woman from the beginning. That's what I was trying to get across to the caller, was these new generation, they'd be like, girl, you're sickening. You're sitting, so you let a bunch of butch queens fill your head up to go get these titties.
Hold on a second. Misty Lake, do me a favor and send me a private message and tell me why this is all bullshit and why it's wrong.
Let me say this to you, Jasmine. Jasmine, let me say this. I'm sitting here reading these things that's coming up. I'm just going to say this. I'm only on this show speaking to help people get knowledge, and I am not God. I'm giving my opinion. So all of this stuff, Miss London, that you're sending about hating me and all that other stuff, this is why I stopped coming on the shows that you're on. Keep it cute. This is not what the show is about tonight. I'm trying to be here for a reason. And anybody who don't like me, I don't care. I'm voicing my opinion. And that's why we have a problem with the female figures of today now, the disrespect.
And it's not just the female figures. It's also the respect
level. Yeah, I keep forgetting
Nani's
a butch queen. She's not a femme queen.
It's the, the respect levels, period, among each other. So, guys, stop attacking people that's on the show, please. But, Missy, send me a message so I can find out what you feel is wrong about what they're talking about. But go ahead, J-Rock. So just off the top of your head again, three things that you feel that the girls are doing now that they shouldn't be doing. You said one is that they shouldn't be being a femme queen so quickly. They should still stick to drag. But what is another
right.
two?
Not only that, it's like they, like back in the day, you waited for the balls. Why? Because you were going to finally see your favorite femme queen. Why? Because you never see them. You didn't see them on the scene. You didn't see them at the regular club. You didn't see them back there smoking, coking, and joking
mm-hmm.
with the regular butch queens. You waited for that ball because you knew that femme queen was going to come out. Why? Because she lives her life as a woman
mm-hmm.
all day, every day. She didn't
mm-hmm.
hang around the butch queen. She came out for the ball to
That's
show
right.
you that I am a woman. That's where the separation came from. So that's another one. And then the next one, I don't know why, but like I said, I don't understand why they want to be so boy. It's like they film queen when they go through their category, but after the category, it's just like another dude.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm sorry. If I look at you and say, hey, how you doing, ma'am? If I open the door, like one caller said, if I seen Jasmine Couture, I would open the door, pick up her bag. If I see Tracy Africa, I'm going to open the door and pick up her bag. If I see some other people that I'm not going to name because people get offended, I wouldn't do nothing. You're just like my butch queen. I'm not opening the door for you. You open the door.
You know how you can tell, listen, you know how you, now I'm going to start being who I am. You know how you can tell a girl and what she really is, what house she's in. If you carry yourself like a lady and you're a fast femme queen, check your house. if you carry yourself like a fucked up femme queen that thinks like a butch queen, check out your house. You are a product
right.
of what house you're in. And
I totally disagree. Because most of us as feminine figures are who we are because of what the product of what we are, our environment, who we're around, not necessarily what house are we in, because I know Banji girls in every house. I know a bunch of girls that girls think are fair, that they do a lot of butch queen stuff and a lot of butch queen things in a lot of houses. There's not one house I have not seen that a girl is not what I guess this conversation would consider this Banji, this under the cover femme queen. All these girls do the same thing. It's just they do them in, some girls do them in one way, some girls do them in the other, and some people don't speak about it. That's the difference, because I don't understand what's the topic about this femme queen thing when it's a bunch of butch queens trying to tell a bunch of girls how to be. We're not telling you how to be butch queens. There's a lot of things that butch queens do that I don't think they should do. There's a lot of things that I believe that are very caught about them, but I keep my comments to myself because I'm a femme queen and I live my life a different way. I can go to the bars and I can cut up with a bunch of femme queens. I can cut up with a bunch of butch queens and I still can go into my job and be a cunt. It's a big difference. What I do when I go to the bar and what I do in my everyday life are two totally different things. I would agree with that.
I agree with that too.
I want people to stop for some mystical reason believing that we popped out as girls. Some people are just different people, and some people need to realize that we are different people and stop trying to judge us. When in turn, if you don't want to turn around and judge you. Because there's a lot of things I can say about butch queens that are messy and nasty. I would agree with that. Jasmine, can I give you my three?
Go ahead, Jason.
The three problems that I have, and I'm just going to speak from the city that I'm in Baltimore. The problem that I have with the femme queens, the younger generation, the femme queens that are coming out now, that they're messy. They don't worry about their appearance. They step out of their house looking any kind of way. I was brought up that girls don't borrow certain things from girls. One will take off a wig and the other one's putting it on. Those type of situations. And it always goes back to hanging with the butch queens. And with the caller, I don't know your name. What's your name, caller?
My name is Vanna.
Okay. And just here, when I came out again, everything was separated, and they're messy butch queens, they're messy femme queens, they're messy faggots. And when I use the word faggot, my sisters get on me because they're straight people that are faggots. I've known so many straight men that I work with that curry tails quicker than a gay man or a woman. And you have that going on. So when you have all that messiness and that backstabbing, and then the other thing, my third is that there's no sisterhood or no unity between them, that they are quick to stab each other in the back here for a date. They're quick to stab each other in the back for a coin. They're just quick to turn each other for no reason. You can get a bunch of butch queens in the room.
Butch queens do the same thing.
Right. I was getting ready to say, you can get a bunch of butch queens in the room, and they'll go off to their cliques, and they'll be shady or whatever. But when you have a female, when your females come out, again, when I came out, when Alyssa and them would come out, I lived, sang with Alyssa. And she was a Banji comp, but she was still a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that your three, Jason?
That's my three.
Okay. I have someone else that may want to say three reasons why people don't respect femme queens. Number one, they don't respect real women. That would be one of the reasons why.
I would agree with that in some ways.
Number two, they don't respect butch queens as men. Because they always call them fags. And also, number three, they let people know too much of their business, i.e. prostitution. So that is what one of the listeners have sent over to me. That is their three reasons why. And then someone else said this to me, and I also agree with this. There is a difference. The girls back then were very exclusive, where right now
they're not exclusive. They let everyone in. We're going to go to a couple of callers. 718-304, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello, Jasmine.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. And everyone else, hello to you, too.
Hello.
Okay. I feel about, you know, I just have this to say, you know, with everything that was said from everyone, I absolutely agree, and I agree with what the person, the three things about what the person said. The number one, like, the Fem Queens don't, they do not respect real women, and I have a problem with that because how can you be a Fem Queen if you don't respect something that you're trying to be? It doesn't make sense to me. Because I've seen, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you're walking the streets and, you know, the women, they give you nasty looks or whatever the case is, as a woman, you're supposed to keep on moving and, you know, as long as they're not coming in your face and trying to hurt you or anything like that, you keep it moving. You be a lady in the street. You don't turn around and you start arguing with them and wanting to fight them because guess what? When it's all said and done, who's going to jail? The Fem Queen. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
You know, because then in their eyes, you're still considered a male or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it doesn't make sense. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that as Fem Queens and Butch Queens, we all need to know our place, and that's the bottom line, and that's where respect has to come in. When you have no respect, then I don't think it will work out ever. We have to learn how to respect each other, and then things will work out. So,
okay.
And you know what really hurts me? Let me say this, Jasmine. What really hurts
me?
What really hurts me is that I am from the era of respecting Fem Queens. And all my life, I've always, there's not a Fem Queen in the boardroom scene that could ever say that I disrespected her. And I always respect them because I know the process is not an easy process, and I also know what it takes and what they have to go through to become the person that they want to become. But for those that don't want to believe that there are people out there that respect them, those are the ones that I'm trying to reach out to let you know that if you can see what we see, maybe you'll change just a little.
The next caller is 347-426. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. This is Keisha calling. Hi, hi.
Hey, Keisha. You know I listen to you.
I'm going to have to say this, and I'm a Butch Queen, of course, but I 100% agree with the Fem Queen that's on the panel. And you know me, you know me, Jasmine. I'm very opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to understand something. The ballroom scene is an illusion. Let's just keep it real. Okay, and like she said, they were not born females. They were born men. And another thing, in order to give respect, you have to give it. Okay? If they're not getting it the respect, why should they respect? Number one. Number two, y'all keep saying back in the days, times have changed. Things are different. This generation, they don't do their research, number one. Number two, you got to blame the parents. Because if the parents were real parents, they would tell these upcoming Fem Queens and these wannabe Fem Queens, this is what it's supposed to be like a woman. A lot of these Fem Queens don't have no role models, and their role models are Butch Queens. And like we always said, if you've got to lead by example, who are they leading? Or, I mean, who are they being led by? Butch Queens. So you can't really fault them for that. Would I agree or disagree with what I'm saying?
Keisha. This
yes.
is Jason. I hear what you're saying.
But you know something, that's not totally true, because Robbie St. Laurent had a house full of Fem Queens, and all of those Fem Queens turned out to be beauties and babes, and he was the Butch Queen that helped mold them.
You said the magic word. He molded them, and whatever was that? What in this generation today are the leaders leading these Fem Queens to be woman, to be successful, to be like a real woman? No, they're not. You go to these clubs, these gay clubs, you be seeing some of these femme queens acting like butch queens. In your era, these femme queens was not going to these gay clubs acting like butch queens, trying to be like butch queens, doing all the butch queen stunts and yada, yada, yada. They were in their own little element and their own little turf. But now you go to gay clubs, you be seeing the femme queens. And now they're taking over. They're taking over. And they're not acting like femme queens. They're acting like butch queens.
That's what I just said. They have the illusion of a femme queen and the attitude of a butch queen. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wrong for saying it.
To piggyback on something that you said, Keisha, you said that they don't have the parents. Are you talking about their house parents or their biological parents? Because nine out of ten times, their biological parents are going to kick them out.
Well, yeah, we can't.
She's saying their house parents.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But I have to agree with the femme queen on the air. You can't keep comparing the era of the Tanae and the Africa to now. It's a totally different generation, a totally different era. And the femme queens today, to me, they're microwavable. They're not taking the time. They're not doing their research. They want a quick. And that's what's hurting them. And I'm not speaking for all the femme queens, because there are some femme queens that are taking the time and doing the transition in the correct way. But a lot of them are just rushing it, and they're not doing it the proper way.
Okay. Keisha, I'm going to keep you right there. I'm going to get to a couple of other callers. 585-285, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, this is Mariah Revlon, everyone.
Hey, Mariah.
Hiya.
Hey, Mariah.
Yes. I am so delighted that I called in. I wanted to say hello to everyone first and foremost before I say what I wanted to say. I don't want to catch no enemies tonight when I deliver what I have to deliver. What I think that we all have to do is all listen to what the words that we're saying. I am feeling a lot of judgment going on tonight with this conversation, because the femme queen is the butch queen. The butch queen is the femme queen. So we are categorizing a specific gender in which the same things we are seeing tonight about that femme queen, that butch queen, that woman, or that man do. So I think we should probably add everyone in the circumstances of this category, because it's very harmful that to be a in transition, and then once that butch queen becomes in transition, he then now be on the opposite side. So it's very easy to pick on the other person on the other field, but once you walk in that person's shoes, then you'll be gasping for air. So I think we got to be mindful and less judgmental, because the conversation is very hurting me. I'm not worried about us being judged at balls and how we're judged in life. We're talking about our own blood brothers and sisters, or gay brothers and sisters, that's really trashing you down. And if that femme queen is embarrassing, we need to be hearing about how the butch queen put the femme queen in place and taught her how to become a lady. But it's very easy to read from the background. It's very easy to trash. It's very easy to feel it. But you need to know the words that you're saying out of your mouth. Are you delivering change or just air? That's what we all have to realize daily. As we talk, as we read, as we come for each other, what are we doing? Are we saving the lives, or are we just making more fuel to the fire, or just because? So it's great that we can say this about this femme queen or that butch queen, but we're all the same. I don't hear nobody even trying to make changes and talking about what can we do. It's not cute to just label one gender, because we all can get labeled. That's
but
all
Mariah,
I wanted to say,
you know,
and thank
you
all.
But listen to me, Mariah, you know why you can't hear the change? Because whenever we say it used to be, or we say back in the day, they don't want the history
So when you say, when you say the butch queens back then were like ladies such and such, so if the femme queen at this current age is not like a lady with all the skills you have, pull her in and show her the way.
But how can I do that when I can't?
Wait a minute. Listen, it's much more embarrassing that we know the read
amongst the film queen or the young butch queen and not making a change. But it's very easy to go and shake your head. Oh, my God, she's on this. Oh, my God, she's masculine. Oh, my God, she's pretty. Oh, my God, she's over-surge. Wasn't you with her 3 weeks ago, bitch, when you always chilling together, probably hanging out, smoking weed, chilling, crafting, or whatever we was doing? But no, it's always the backlash and the read, and the same girl that gave you all that life and, oh, I live for you, is the same bitch that's bringing you down, which in turn, which makes the film queen hate the other film queens, because we were all butch queens at one time, knowing how it is, fierce to be. So it
that's
gets
right.
very fierce that we become both people in the same light and can see the shade and the drama, which in turn makes me more humble because I know that the words I speak can either change your life or even crash it. So I feel great about being Mariah because I don't fucking let fags steer me wrong when it comes to talking nonsense. You have to fucking spit real logical things in my ear so I can know which way to go. And if you're just going to be the average fag, that's fine. But be the average fag over there. Don't be on the radio saying what we should be doing as a film queen or a butch queen when that butch queen 3 years from now is going to be the film queen, or when that older butch queen couldn't be the film queen, or when that film queen had to get out of trades because she couldn't do such and such. So it's all a read inside the read, but it's all about what we're going to do now. What the fuck? We're dropping like flies, and the girls are still talking about what's in the cracker box. We need to figure out how the crackers was made because we're fucking dying by the wayside. And at the end, at that box, only thing you're going to just see is fucking crumbs because we're always paying each other down. And at the end of the story, you're going to be giving, she was a good girl. Let's look at her clips. So what are we going to do? So I hear all the versions of what people are saying. I hear it. Oh, the film queen's this. They need to do this. What the fuck are you going to do to help that film queen? Change that. Change that, because that's the only way you're going to feel good. I can read all day long about what's going in the ballroom, but if I ain't going to make it exciting, bitch, I'm going to just be on the sidelines talking nonsense. So we need to have shows that's about talking about reality and how we're going to change people's lives, especially for all of us being older and still on the phone. Thank God we're here. Right now we need to be saving these young little fags, bitch, because we are fucking dying. I'm saying we, not they, not them, not he, not she, we. We are dying, and the only way for us to wake up, and this is a great outlet, the radio, but if we don't fucking wake up, we'll just be that film queen, that butch queen, dead of age, dead off of drugs, dead off of life, and bitch, as you record your life back, you'll go, damn, I should have said something. I should have saved a life. But the only thing we're going to record is us reading and trashing and coming and putting a bitch down instead of giving, no, you know what? I told that girl don't get her face done today. I fucking read her. When she get it done, bitch, you're not going to feel bad. But reading her and not telling her and you just told her she was over last week, bitch, that's going to fuck you up later. That's going to fuck up. So that's what we got to remember. And I hear everyone's opinion, and I am not trying to be judgmental in whatsoever way, because, bitch, I'm that film queen you're talking about. I was that witch queen. I'm everybody on the phone, and just like we all are. So we need to be mindful of our vocabulary as we debut in the world, because it can either harm us or hurt us or make us feel better in life, because the things that we're doing, someone else is going to be doing. But it's great and easy to sit on the sideline saying, work, Redskins. But, bitch, you're not the one in there getting your motherfucking back bent over every day for the fucking ball. So that's all I wanted to say, and I love you all. And I'll be seeing you soon. I'm moving back to New York May 31st. Jasmine, I love you dearly.
I love you too dearly, baby. I miss you.
I do. I miss you too. I will talk to you later. I'm so sorry for going off, but y'all made me mad.
It's okay.
Tonight.
It's okay, because Maggie. Thank you, Mariah. 916-613, you're on the air.
Hello, guys. I'm from Sacramento. I've actually been listening to the show, reading everything you guys have been saying on the chat, and first wanted to say thanks for letting me chime in a little bit. But one thing that's bothering me right now is I'm looking in the chat room and I'm hearing everyone's conversation, and it's just the one thing that I forget, people are forgetting, is just the fact that when you make this transition and you do the things that you're doing, that there's a certain role that you have to fill. I mean, it's one part in looking like a woman and acting like a woman and acting like a man, but it's also another thing, you know, it's acting like a man that really makes you what you are. Here, over here, there, you know, there's so many like, you know, femme queens out there that actually do carry themselves when they walk out of the house, that they make sure that they not only look like a lady, but they act like a lady. And also when the butch queen comes out, you see them in the club or you see them in the street, that they act like the part, they look like the part, that they carry themselves in a manner. And you don't see that anymore. And it's almost like, well, why go through the operation? Why go through the change? Why go through all this drama and mess if you're not even going to hold yourself to a standard? And I'm not trying to complain or anything like that, because I want to end with a positive note. I feel that we should learn from our elders, because they wouldn't just say anything just because they're just bumping their gums and just saying things. There's a reason why people say things and why we have the elders like yourselves here to let us know that there are some things that if you see something wrong, you're gonna say something in that because you have the wisdom. And I just feel like people are forgetting that. I forget like people are forgetting why we do the things that why people do the things that they do. And if you're gonna make a big decision like this, then you really need to think out everything that you're doing. And it hurts me to see that, you know, just to see our people look a mess. Like if you're gonna do something, then do it 100%. Don't do it just 98% and just think that you can be cute and just do whatever you feel like doing just because you're still going through whatever you're going through. No, no one should change anything that you do. No one should ever change anything that, like, no one should ever conflict anything about you or anything that you are doing in your life, because as soon as I do that, then what's the point? What's the point of you even continuing this if you're just going to live a life, you're living a life for someone else? And it just bothers me that all these kids that we don't have a direction, we don't have any type of like goals, standards, and but we just want to live the life. And it's just like, is that it? Is that all? Like, you just want to live the life and live crazy. Like, my mother always taught me like this, that the one thing that you always want to do, no matter what you do, is that you always respect yourself. Because if you don't respect yourself, nobody else will. So if you want to act like a fool, then you want to act like a fool, and everyone else is gonna read you like a fool. And that's point blank. It has nothing to do with the ballroom scene. It's just life. No matter who you are always, somebody's always looking at you. Someone's always talking about you. So why would you give them something else to talk about? It drives me up the wall, and I don't know. That's all I have to say. And thank you.
Thank you, caller. And we have one more caller, and then we're gonna change it up a little bit. 816-606. You're on the air.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. I'm actually, one of the younger voices. And I just wanted to really come on and just speak about the same issues everyone's talking about. And I absolutely respect Ms. Mariah Revlon's point of view, as well as everyone else's. But I will have to say that a lot of the respect, it does come from within. And a lot of people do not get that so early on, especially when it's a kid from the village, you know, who's really out there, doesn't have any guidance. They don't really get that in the beginning. And I feel that as legends, that a lot of people don't take the time to really sit down and really offer the children, you know, the youth, a lot of guidance. I think what they do is they say, okay, well, back in my day, which is fine, you know, to say back in my day, this is how things were. But you also have to think about people who are not only gay, but people who are straight. They deal with issues with people saying, okay, well, back in my day, you know, we didn't get such and such, you know, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. A lot of youth do not, they don't take that well, and I don't understand why, because I'm different from a lot of people, but I do feel that as a youth, it doesn't really register to a lot of their mind. They only see back in my day. They don't really, when you say back in my day to them, it's like, okay, I don't need to listen to the rest of the conversation. When there's really something that they need to take away from that and instill in themselves. I also see that, you know, as all of the femme queens and witch queens, that a lot of them don't really have a humble beginning. They don't have someone that has really given them what a man is, what a woman is, how to be it, how to walk, how to talk, you know, how to act, a certain way to cross your legs. You know, a lot of them don't have that. And I would, as a youth, I would like to see more legends come out and really nurture and show the youth that this is what they can be, this is how they can be it. And though they're going through a struggle that may be a little bit harder, it is not any different than, you know, what they went through in their time. But that's just what
Caller,
I wanted to say.
Caller, are you a femme queen?
No, I'm a young male.
Oh, really?
No, that's a gag. Baby.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm a witch queen. I'm a witch queen.
Wow.
Okay. All right, well, thank you so much, Paula. I was going to ask you a couple of questions, but you're not a femme queen. So thank you, Paula. I really appreciate it. A couple of things that I got from the chat room and stuff is, what about gay boys who haven't transitioned yet? Femme queens don't respect them enough to help them. They don't respect drag. So I guess they're saying that femme queens don't take the time to even help or assist, you know, the drags that are trying to go through the transition, so they don't have anyone to reach out to. Another one says, people say balls are fantasies, but what about the femme queens whose lives are within the scene and only within the scene? So stop saying balls are fantasies because people live within the scene. So, Tanya, I haven't touched up with you yet, and you've been sitting there. What is your opinion as a femme queen about all this?
Well, I mean, I do understand that the times have really changed, and it's definitely a difficult time because, you know, a lot of, there's not no respect out there. You know, you, it's hard enough as it is being a transgender woman, having to work every day and, you know, and take care of your womanly duties and, you know, to be disrespected and, you know, it's definitely a difficult time back then when everyone stuck together more so within the gay scene. Not really that much sticking together no more.
Yeah, there's definitely no unity. Havana, are you okay over there?
I'm fine.
I know how you feel, sis. I know how you feel. I don't think anyone is trying to take anything personal here, especially, you know, with Jason, J-Rock, or any of the witch queens that are making opinions or giving their opinions on, you know, some of the stuff that they've witnessed within our generation or this generation. I don't want anyone to take anything personal, you know, just realize that these are just the opinions, but, you know, sometimes people are going to take it to heart because I do agree, like with Vonna and stuff, that sometimes we just get tired of hearing, you know, all the negative, you know, feedback coming towards the girls. But sometimes, you know, when the boys are attacking the girls, you know, the girls are going to look at the boys and say, well, what about you? What about the things that you're doing? And that's what I want to touch up on. You know, there's always the disrespect that is coming towards female figures. But now we look at the disrespect among the boys themselves, towards each other, towards themselves and stuff. You know, what do you guys have to say about that? I'm going to start with the ladies, just like I asked the guys. But the ladies now, Vonna, what do you think some of the boys do that are just, you know, out of hand? And you wish, you know, that maybe they, or you feel that they should carry themselves a little differently.
The one thing is, they, a lot of them tend to believe that they're women.
I believe that if they learn their place the same way they want us to learn ours, then maybe some things will work a little bit better. Whatever you do when you lay down has no constitute of what you do when you get up. So a lot of these people tend to, once they get up from the session of being the girl, get up to try to be women in their own mind. If you be a man and act like a man, then you'll be treated as a man. That's my one thing. Two, it's the same thing that they think about us, the messiness, the sleeping with each other's boyfriends, the sleeping in circles, all that stuff. If they stop that, then there'll be a lot less drama between themselves as well. And also, it's a respect, not even for the femme queen, but a respect for themselves as a person, period, what they don't have within themselves either.
Mm-hmm. And Tanya, do you feel that the boys do certain things as well that are
yes.
so disrespectful to themselves?
Yes, I do. I understand a lot of bush queens do have to express themselves, but I do think a lot of those flamboyancy out in public and things like that is kind of a little bit too much. And I wish a lot of them don't respect real women. So, you know, it's very easy for them to disrespect one of us. And I wish they do stand up and really be the men of our scene and really, you know, carry themselves more in a man's image, you know.
Mm-hmm. See, now I know the boys can probably take that a little personal, so now you know how the girls feel when you say things like that. RR, did you have any opinion on that?
I've always been the same, so I don't, you know, when I think of, as far as the Butch Queens are concerned, I think of the Butch Queen Realness boys, and like someone said, when you're at the ball, you're at the ball and you walk your category and you do what you're supposed to do for your category. And then once your category is over, you go back to who you really are. You understand? So at the same token, I watched the Butch Queens who walk realness, and a lot of them do carry themselves real at a ball for their category. And when they walk the streets, they try to portray their realness category because 9 out of 10 times, the people in their neighborhood don't know about them, or, you know, they just feel more comfortable trying to keep it on the low. But then you have the feminine butch queens who are out there who don't have a problem with people knowing because their lack of self-esteem and they're trying to get attention, that they do act more feminine and they want that attention, but they don't know that that attention could also bring a lot of trouble from people who are homophobic. And
glad you brought that up about the attention thing, because I have noticed that for decades, you know, for a long time. That's a decade, like I'm super old. But for years, I have noticed that a lot of butch queens do certain things just for attention. Do you think that femme queens do the same thing?
I don't think that femme queens do things for attention because they already are being looked at because when you say attention, there's different types of attention where you're trying to be looked at for how well you dress. That's attention. Or you're trying to look at it on how shady you can be. That's another form of attention. I think femme queens, if they carry themselves in a certain manner, they're going to get attention. If they carry themselves in a positive or negative, butch queens and femme queens, they're always going to get attention. We all get attention in our own right. You understand? So I can't really speak on the attention part because we all get attention in different forms. But at the end of the day, there's a process when you're coming out. And once you learn your process, you become comfortable with yourself and you know your lane and you stay in your lane. A lot of people just don't stay in their lane as butch queens.
Okay.
Like I don't really understand, like, butch queens who hang out with femme queens, and then they start doing the same thing that the femme queens do, and they know they don't want to be a femme queen, but because they see it working for her, they start moaning. But that's not what you're trying to be. Why are you going down that road? Because now you're messing your thoughts up. And instead of please, y'all, don't think I'm being judgmental, but instead of the female figure telling that male figure, sweetie, I choose to live like this because this is what I am and this is what I want to be. Why do you want to take hormones? Because it's going to make you soft, because your skin is going to clear up. You know, these are the misconceptions that go along with a lot of things. You understand? It's just like the trans man. You understand? You have the trans man, and then you have the butches.
Mm-hmm.
They stay in their lane.
Yeah. J-Rock, did you want to say anything about this?
Well, I'm going to tell you just like this. Ever since I've been out, I came out kind of late. Like I told you, I came out kind of late because I was too busy doing other things with the military. But when I came out at 22, one thing that I know is I've never done any drugs. I've never done any kind of drinking. I've never done no kind of pills or anything. But when you see me in the club, you will think I am high as a kite. I'm kicking. I'm laughing. I'm getting my life. I'm hugging people. I'm acting a plum fool. But nobody ever has disrespected me yet. Why? Because they know that when the morning, when that sun comes up, oh, I got business to take care of. There's a time to turn it on. There's a time to turn it off. And when I turn it off, I turn it off. And I've been turning it off for 12 years. So I get my respect. And then when I go back to the scene, I think it's all about how you carry yourself. Everybody know I'm having fun. Everybody know that I love my gay family, you know. So when I say gay family, I'm talking about any gay person out there in the world. I have a deep love for any gay person, whether you are looked at bad or looked at good.
Mm-hmm.
I look at you as I love you. I love you first. You can tell me, don't go around that queen. This queen is this. This queen is that. I don't know that. Let me find out for my damn self. I'm a grown-ass man. But at the same time, I've never been disrespected. I think it's the way you carry yourself. Everybody has always respected me for doing all of that, then going home, going to sleep, waking up in the morning, and really, you know what I'm saying? I don't do this. It's just weird. I think it's about the way you carry yourself, the way you carry yourself, and people will see that within you. And like when it kind of goes back to what I was saying in the chat room about Mariah, I was sitting there being quiet, and a lot of people was like, I think they're going off the subject when they were saying, why are we disrespecting our film queens now? Not really as how they're acting, but the acting came out. But Mariah made me feel like my mama was going off on me, and I was asking them in the chat room, why do I feel like that? And they said, because she embodies a woman, you know, and it just felt like a woman talking to me. She can tell me she was a man all day long, but I still feel like she's a woman. This how you carry yourself, whether you're a butch queen or whether you are a femme queen, and you will get your respect. Respect is, if you give respect, you get respect.
Okay. Jason, anything you wanted to touch upon?
I can only speak for me. Coming out at 6:15, I was still figuring out who I was. It wasn't until I was 22, 23 that I figured that I knew that I was gay. But it wasn't until I was 22, 23 that I knew what actually gay was. But I knew that I was a man first. The one thing my mother told me before she closed her eyes is, I brought you into this world as a man, and you're going to leave this world as a man. She raised me as a single mother, and she taught me how to tie a tie. She told me everything I needed to know or lay the groundwork for me to becoming a man. Then there were some things as a man I had to go through on my own, so that's why I respect everyone. I don't ever want to appear or come off sounding like I'm judgmental, but I just know where I am and myself. And it took me 30-plus years to get to a point where I'm happy and I'm completely comfortable with who I am. And I know that I'm a man first that's attracted to other men. You can call me gay. You can call me whatever you want. I don't believe in that label. If you want to be, and you are what you attract. So if you're a messy person, you're going to deal with messy people. I'd rather have a few friends than a bunch of friends that I have to always worry about, okay, do I got to hold on to my back, hold on to my wallet, do I got to hold on to this, do I got to do this, is somebody going to do this to me, are they going to go after my man? So I'd rather be alone. Before I deal with mess, I won't deal with anyone. And I try, and because I have four nephews that came up after me that are gay, it was in me that I had to set an example for them. Now, two of my nephews went the route that they wanted to transition into becoming women, and I respect that, and we're dealing with them, and it was like, this is how that has to be done. If this is what you want to do, then you're going to do it the right way. I have a niece that's a lesbian, so I just got one big old gay family. And there's a way that she has to, there's a way that she has to cut herself, because we were brought up, I was brought up, that when I leave my front door, just like I have my last name is what my last name is, I represent my family. Whatever your house last name is, you represent that family, regardless of when you're outside of the ballroom, in the ballroom, when you're on your job, when you're at church, wherever you are, you represent the people that came before you. And that's my bottom line, is that with me, I know that I'm not only representing Jason, I'm representing all the people that stand behind Jason. And I'm not going to do anything to make them look, I'm not going to do anything to make myself look foolish. I'm not going to do anything, because one thing I was scared of, I didn't want nothing to get back to my mother, because I knew the ass whipping that I was going to take if it got back to my mother. And R.R. can understand that, because he's older than me, so he has to understand that I come from a generation where I actually listen to what my mother said. And that was the one thing that she, that's the one thing that I instill in any gay person, youth, that come after me, that come, that I take in, because I've been a foster parent and I try to help who I can, so I do give back. I might not give back in the ballroom, but I'm giving back in the gay realm, because there's so many kids. Like I, when Keisha was asking the question, and that's when I, when she made the statement, and that's when I was trying to ask her, well, are you talking about the parents who put them out? Because those are kids that don't have a real mother, a real father, a house mother, a house father. Those are the ones that you have to reach before they go to that route where we see them on BGC or doing these escorting edge. You have to grab them, like Mariah said, we have to grab them and say, baby, you are loved. You are special. You can be something. And if you don't do that, then what? So my thing is, I agree with everything that she's saying about the Butch Queens, because they, I mean, Butch Queens, I think Butch Queens are messier than real women. So you have to, just like you pick and choose what outfits you're going to wear, you have to pick and choose the crowd of people that you're going to be around in. And if you have found yourself around a bunch of people that are talking about nothing, then that's all they're going to ever talk about is nothing. And if that's what you want to talk about and that's where you want to be, then that's where you want to be. I'd rather be at home and drink at home alone than drink with a bunch of miserable people.
I know that's right. You know, and you know, let me add to that, because I came out when I was 15. I walked my first ball when I was 17, okay? And when I started the house, I started the house because of what you just said, pulling people to the side and seeing something in them that I thought I could help them change. If I seen somebody, like, just getting involved with the wrong crowd, I'd be like, you should join my house because we do this and we do that. But they didn't know why I was doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I was no saint. I mean, I had my bouts with, you know, drug addiction and you know, magic and everything else. But after a while, you have a story. You have a story to tell. You have a story to share. You can stop someone from going down the road that you went down. And like Mariah said, we have to stop just being judgmental and take go to a Kiki function and look at that child that's probably doing the wrong thing and say, listen, I'd like to take you to lunch to McDonald's one day and just hang out with you. I like you. I like your style. You're funny, blah, blah, blah. However you address it, but then you build a friendship with them first. And once you start building that friendship, then you can start trying to mentor with them. And I think if everybody was to just take a complete stranger in the gay life and start mentoring them, maybe it would be a lot easier for them to adjust to what we're saying.
I have a rebuttal in reference to that, but I do have a caller, but then remind me to talk about that real quick. 518-330, you're on the air.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to co-sign with R.R. Chanel. You're beautiful soul. I love you, Dan. Transgender girls, the reason why we don't, most of us don't get along is because we're too vast. One wants to be the other. One wants to do this. One wants to be Benji. One wants to be a sex pot. I mean, the reason why is we have lost our power and we didn't realize our power and that we were the catalyst for Stonewall. We helped initiate the gay rights for the LGBT, and a lot of us don't know it. A lot of us chose and we settled with the wrong people because we settled. We didn't realize our power. We're visual, and a lot of people give us shade. Because we're visual, we're transitioning, and a lot of the gay men out there, not all of them, whether they're flamboyant or DL, have a better chance of not being talked about, even though some gay men or a lot of gay men do get talked about. But we're very visual, and a lot of people don't understand that why we're transitioning, so we do get that. But I'm kind of nervous. Let me just take it easy. When we have our power, that we're more than our gender, nobody can ever take that away from us. We hang with the wrong people. We hang with them because we settle, be it people that aren't good for us. And there's hierarchy within our own community, particularly the transgender girls of color. We get bashed the most from other girls who may be white, and they call us out our names, or they'll call us bricks, or you need to do this or that. I mean, no wonder why they hang out with the wrong influences. And I'm one that learned myself that I can't just settle and just settle for a bunch of quantity-ass people instead of that one quality person that loves me for me. I'm more than my gender, and I wish, you know, and I wish I had learned that a long time ago. But, you know, I've learned now, and I have been transitioning for over 20 years, and whether you're an old-school girl, whether you're a new-school girl, it's all about loving yourself and taking that power back and knowing that you're more than your gender. Not to be shady or anything, if people, I don't care if you're an icon, I don't care who you are, you respect me and I respect you. If you don't, then hey, then there it is. But it, as long as we take back that power, be it no matter what part of the LGBT, but particularly the trans girls, we have to take back that power. And I guess that's it.
Thank you so much, caller. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Jasmine, you wanted to piggyback on something I said earlier?
No, you said something about, you know,
taking children under your wings, and trying to help them.
Now, what would you say to the individuals, because, you know, I've tried that before, what would you say to the individuals that have attempted to take individuals under their wing, be it another femme queen or a drag or a butch queen that may be living a life that is hurting them and, you know, so forth and so on, and you sit there and you put so much energy into that individual, helping them, guiding them, pushing them in the right direction, even if it's for a two-hour conversation or a face-to-face, one-on-one for an hour or so, and they listen, they cry their heart out and stuff, but as soon as they get on that plane and head back home, you can tell on their Twitter or their Facebook, they're just back to doing the same old stuff. And it was like just a waste of time. And eventually an individual gets tired of wasting their time trying to help someone, and it just doesn't change. What would you say? Just keep trying, keep doing it. These people are not.
Yeah, basically, this is what happens. And I've learned this from being in recovery for 26 years. Once you plant a seed in someone's brain, no matter what they do after you plant that seed is going to continue to manifest itself sooner or later in their life. They may not use what you give them right then, but trust me, there'll be a time and point in their life where they'll reflect back on something that you said or did or some place that you took them that will remind them of the day that you spent with them and bring them some type of comfort. And when they're feeling distressed, and if they have your number at that particular time, they'll reach out to you. You won't have to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that.
To touch on that, Jasmine, I just went through that last year with one of my sons where I was trying to get him through high school, his last year of high school, and he reached his 18th birthday. And the friends that he hung with just told him that he was grown. And basically he just disobeyed all my rules. Rule one, don't bring anybody in my home if I have not met them. And you're not supposed to bring anybody, any and everybody home. Rule two, don't sneak anybody into my house and you have a curfew. So So when he reached his 18th birthday, he decided upon himself that he was grown, and he stayed out. And I had to call his biological mother and say, your child is, I'm responsible for your child, but I can't find him. And me and her sat down and we talked, and when he finally came home, I had to say, you, as much as I love you, I love me more. And in the long run, it's called tough love. And I have to let you go because you feel as though that you're grown, then you need to face reality. And now reality is kicking him in the ass. And everything that I tried to teach him and show him and tell him, it's coming to fruition. And he calls me every day and is like, I love you, I miss you, I want to come back home. And as much as I want to bring him back in, I have to help him from afar.
Yeah,
this is J-Rock. I wanted to touch on that one, too. I feel like this, just like as in any other thing, not even only in gay, maybe with your family members, because some of us have family, don't front, that, you know, are going through some things, whether they're teenagers or whether they're on drugs, whether they're in a certain type of life or whatever, then you know that it's detrimental to their life. You can't save everybody, but
right.
If you could save one. But my thing is kind of like the House of Ebony. I know a lot of people don't go by it, but down here in the Texas chapter, we are starting to endorse our code of ethics in the House of Ebony. And one thing is, before you can get in our house, we have to know what are your goals on the ballroom scene, but not only that, what is your goals in life, period. And if don't nobody else endorse that, when you come out here to the Louisiana chapter and you want to call yourself an Ebony, J-Rock is going to make sure what is going on in your regular life, because how can I expect you to walk a ball if your real life is in shambles? If your real life is all jacked up, how can I expect you to show up to meetings and show up and do – I need to make sure that you are functioning in this real world and in society, because before I was in this ballroom scene, my heart goes out to the youth, period. So no matter if you're gay, straight, or whatever, if I can get you together in real life, then you can have fun on this ballroom scene. But at the same time, you got strikes, you have demerits. If the demerits come, I'm sorry. I have empathy, but I have no sympathy. I understand, but I am not just to waste my time with you because you didn't want to do it. And like R.R. said, if I instilled it in you, you will come back if you're ready to get on the right track. And that's one thing that we're doing. So,
J-Rock, hold on for me for 1 second. If you guys are in the chat room or listening from your computer, this is the time to call in. Call in now, quickly, because you only got 90 seconds. And try to get on the lines, because in about 90 seconds, the phone lines will be shut off, and the people that are on the air will be the only ones that are able to listen. And I think the chat room can listen. If you guys are on the line, RR, J-Rock, Jason, Vanna, Mariah, some of the callers, Keisha, try not to disconnect, Tanya. You are back, because if you get disconnected, you will not be able to get back on the show. And I just want to say in advance, thank you for tuning in and sitting with us tonight. But we're about to go into record mode in about 60 seconds. She keeps yelling in my ear. Do you guys hear that?
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, she yells in my ear. She don't yell in you guys' ear. 90
she
seconds.
Who?
60 seconds. The switchboard thing yells in your ear. Okay. So basically, yeah. One thing I want to bring up really quickly is, you know, as you're growing up, you have family members, you know, and I'm sure it even happens within our ballroom culture, our ballroom community as well. That you have the elders who always have, they have gone through so much, and they always tell you, you know, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And as you're young, I know when I was young, I didn't want to hear nobody. Now she's saying 10 points. Okay. I didn't want nobody to tell me nothing. I didn't even want to listen to my grandmother or my mother, whatever. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever, whatever. But as you get older, like RR just say, it was like I'm planting that seed in you, and you do remember. And I know for so many years, as I got older and the things that I experienced, I would always say to myself, damn, she was right. I remember when she told me that. I remember when she told me I was going to go through that. So, you know, to the younger generation, to the youth, I want you to listen and realize that sometimes when people who have experienced a little bit more than you have say things to you, it's not for you to take it in a negative way, and it's not for you to take it to heart. I mean, it's for you to take it to heart, but not in a negative way. It's for you to take it in and listen. What you decide to do with it afterwards is on you. But 9 out of 10, they're telling you this. If they're taking the time to share something with you, they're taking the time to, because they care, and they care about you. I know that I have, and I have spoken to so many people, and some people listen, and some people go and do what they have to do. And like Jason, I think, said, a year later, they'll be calling saying, damn, I wish I would have listened. I wish, you know, this and that. You know, maybe can I come back? Can you help me with this? And, you know, sometimes it's like, no, you should have listened when I told you. And I, as bad as I want to do it, I have to care about myself, and I don't want to get hurt. So I'm going to have to say no. I'm going through that with my biological brother right now. You know, my mom died. His dad died. And I raised him ever since he was 12 years old. And, you know, now he's getting older, and he's going through certain things in life, and sometimes he tries to come back home, you know, from little hints and things that he says, but unfortunately I just cannot let him come back because, you know, I want him to grow up. Sometimes I feel like I'm wrong, but no, I just decide on it, no. And then I get a call a week or two or a month later telling me, you know, how good he's doing and stuff like that. So, you know, the bottom line is you have to teach them tough love sometimes. So just try not to take it so personal. That's just kind of like my opinion with it. But you guys can go ahead.
One of the things I remember that my grandmother used to tell me is all the time is just wait on time. And I can remember my mother or my grandmother or my aunts telling me something and I didn't want to hear it. But then I would understand, which was crazy to me and it's still crazy to me to this day, how it was more acceptable if it came from one of my friends or if it came from a peer. That's just like, and I just never understood that. But it's like now as I'm older and I'm going through certain things and I laugh and I think about my mother when I go through certain things with certain children of mine and I'm like, okay, this is payback for what I did. And I just laugh at it, and I have to tell them, like, you don't understand what I'm saying now, but you're going to eventually understand what I'm saying. And when you go through it, you're going to say, uh-huh, he was right. You might not admit to me that I'm right, but you'll know that I'm right, which is crazy with this youth to this day that they'll be like, okay, but that was back in the day. And I'm in my 30s, and for you to say, well, back in the day, I find it funny. I mean, but then I had to realize that, okay, well, when I was 16, if somebody 30 said something to me, I'm like, okay, well, you're old. You don't know any better. So I guess that's just a learning experience that we all go through, and some of us learn it quicker than others, and then I know 35-year-olds that still haven't learned it.
Well, yeah, I agree, because even as, you know, for myself, I know that I personally chose to not listen to what they said, and I went out there, and I fell on my ass, and it was hard, and I went through so much, and it could have been easier, but because I chose not listen to what they said, not abide by their rules, and I felt that I wasn't going to give them the power to control me and stuff, I had to go through so much. And you know what? I'm glad that I did, because it's made me the better person than I am today. It made me who I am. But I still don't want, you know, I share my stories, I share my experiences with so many other people, but I also tell them, you know, it's good to go out there and do what you have to do, and it's good for you to go out there and learn. You know, it wasn't easy for me, and it shouldn't be easy for nobody, because, you know, a lot of people that it's easy for, they take it for granted.
Right.
So, you know, I just want people to listen, but, you know, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. And I think that's where it all comes from, respect. You know, again, that's the topic for tonight, respect. You have to respect yourself, and you have to love yourself. And no matter what anyone says, you know, no matter how anyone judges you, yeah, it hurts. Yeah, you take it personal, but it should, you still make it better. You know, I'm heavy, I'm fat, whatever you want to call me, and I know this. But do you think that stops me? You think I'm going to go in a corner and cry about it? No. I continue to do what I can do to be successful. No matter who you are, if you're, you know, if you maybe are hard, you have broad shoulders, or you're not as tough, or you're so flamboyant, or, you know, so forth and so on. Don't let what a person says about you control you. Just make yourself a better individual. No matter what your flaw may be, it doesn't mean that one flaw is going to control your whole life. So,
you know what I always say? I'm sorry, you can finish. I didn't want to cut you.
No, no, I'm just going to say continue.
I said, you know what I always tell people? Yeah. I always tell people, you know what? I'm going to tell you my story so that way nobody else has to tell you. You understand? Because once you put it out there, then no one else can say anything about you. And that's why I always say, you don't have to like me, but you have to respect me.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason you have to respect me is because I've been in shark-infested waters, and I came out on the beach. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, if you could walk 2 blocks in my shoes and still be here, you are a miracle. So if you have someone like me, and I only use this because it's a terminology in the ballroom scene that shows how long I've been here. If you are like me, a pioneer, and you're a statement or a star or a legend or a new icon, you should be willing to sit down for 5 minutes and have a conversation with me to get something.
Mm-hmm.
Let me plant a seed somewhere.
Okay, now I'm glad you said that, R.R., and you are, you of all people are going to understand when I say this, and I'm not discrediting J-Rock, Jason, Vonna, anyone. Mariah, you know exactly what I'm talking about here, too. Mariah, can I bring you back on the line? Mariah, you're there. Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Okay, Mariah, I want you and R.R. to answer this for me. The years that we've been in this ballroom scene, the experience that we've went through in real life, because we all have a story, all three of us,
mm-hmm.
have a story, and we've succeeded at what we went through, and we are here today. And what do you say to the youth that is trying to come to us and learn from us, and they respect us, but yet you have other leaders or other people that have either went through similar situations or haven't even gone through what we've gone through, discredit us. Don't listen to Mariah, child. Do you know about Mariah? Don't listen to R.R. Don't listen to Jasmine. They only want this. Da, 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 da. You have the ones
mm-hmm.
that are discrediting us so much that the youth is now afraid to come, or they don't come back, or they just ignore what we said, because you have these other legends and icons and so forth and so on that are so girlfriendy, faggotish, and all the rest of that stuff that constantly attack us. What do you do at that point? And I'm going to start with you, Mariah.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm so glad R.R. said that, like, as you kind of clarify, like, you know, each person's where you've been and where you at. I am a person that grew up with no parents, so I speak in change, and even in days I don't want to, where I want to say fuck the fags and just be myself, I was born empowered because I never had nothing. So as you say that, according to all three of us on the phone and being older, and I'm not taking away from none of the other girls on the phone either, but the years of being out so long, you lose patience. I'm very much there where I'm losing patience, where I'm looking at HIV now as a normal attribute compared to me in the field working and trying to save lives according to the people I lost. So I love to save anybody that I can, because I've never been saved. I struggled my own entire life on my own with my own decisions, embracing my downfalls, embracing my good, at the same time still remaining humble with all that under one plate. I try not to come off as I know so much, but growing up with no parents, I guess God instilled in me, like, the ability to manage and get through. And just as you said it, this is just an iconic testimony for all of us to be on this phone and whoever's young listening. It doesn't make any sense, and they don't understand where we've been at 36 or at your age and your age. It's so crazy that I'm always about trying to save the next young little person, having a million children to at least they be under my wing to know that they listening to me. And then once they don't listen, I drop them off because I'm zero tolerance. I'm a Scorpio, so I'm about, like, saving lives. If you don't want to listen, like, get off my planet. Because we're dying by the wayside, and that's why I go insane speaking, because I'm so delighted to be here. Very happy, very in a better space in my time, but I am very much not selfish because it's really not about me. It's about that young person that you have any shows for that need to really listen because we don't even supposed to be here. And if they can make it through half of what we've been made it through on this phone, I consider them damn icons and legends myself. Nobody got to tell me I'm an icon, legend, or anything. The days I walk the streets of my life shows me who I am. So when I come to balls, I like to let that show out. And so if I'm talented, if I'm fabulous, I want to be all of that because, bitch, I work hard for who I am as a person. And they don't know that breathing is so much a wonderful thing because we get snatched by the wayside. So it's amazing that we're on the show talking and spreading the news of saving lives, but we have to be mindful that it's all of our lives at stake because any one of us could be dead and giving us a memorial. So I want to kind of switch it around and give bitches their life while they're on earth. Because, bitch, I don't want to be known as just as a cliff. I want to fucking shake this planet up as long as I'm on here. And these young folks need to wake up, or we just all need to get some black suits and get prepared for funerals. That's how real you got to talk to them because AIDS is out here. And it's not the drugs. It's not the sex. It's about who you are as a person and why you're going to be letting yourself go through them circumstances knowing that you want a better tomorrow. If you don't want a better tomorrow, then back your shit the fuck up. That's how simple and plain it is, but it's so real. I'm so grateful to be alive today and on this radio show, and I'm so glad to be a role model in this team that can contribute, unlike some of the girls that are legendary and iconic. But I don't really speak about them. I only speak about what Mariah can do and how I can change someone's life because I wish somebody would have changed mine. And the LGBT, we all change each other's lives. Or you've changed my life in many dramatic ways. Jasmine, you've changed. Bitch, we went to Ricky Lake together. I still be looking at the clip to this day, girl. I still be looking at the clip to this day.
I was there.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so they the iconic and, legendary moments. So once you put some time on your belt, that makes me respect anybody because I've worked for mine. So I don't give a fuck who they call who. I'm giving, let the bitch stay out, and it's about survival of the fittest. Do you want to be a known girl for the week or for the month? That's how it goes. And these girls are dying, and they don't even really need to be talking about balls. They need to learn about how they can read and write and figure out how we're going to stop this epidemic of HIV and AIDS. Just like how the Caucasians pulled it together, we need to pull it together, or we'll just be a lost cause. So as we walk our balls, as we feel it, we need to help the next man behind us. So we just got to be thankful that we're here.
Mariah, what would you say to the individuals that try to discredit you, your life, your experience, to the people that you're trying to help? And these are coming from your brothers and sisters.
I'm so glad you said that and asked Mariah. Growing up with no parents, I've never believed in human beings. I've always had a higher being guiding my forces. The human beings that I've ran across throughout my years, I either had to allow myself to open up to them or either ignore them. And once I allow myself to open up, I consider them a piece of me. So the community that I have, I find it amazing because when I come out, everyone lives from Mariah. So it's a matter of me controlling the scene and not the scene controlling me. I've always been that way. I wasn't destined to be legendary, fabulous, role model, nothing. I wanted to walk my balls. Both of y'all know this straight off the bat, and I'm still that girl. I don't give a fuck about no status. I'm ready to demolish bitches on the floor because I've been so far and where I came. I don't even belong here.
I've almost died from tuberculosis. I mean, I've had so much shit that impacted me where I don't even belong talking. The only thing I'm doing now is just spreading good news. Because, bitch, if I wanted to talk negative, I should have did all that shit when I had the other life. But now I didn't got spared some lives, different lives like a fucking cat. It's given. You better waste your knowledge and try to save the next person or else, bitch. Because I know he can snatch me at any second. I don't feel grandiose, legendary, iconic. I just feel mean. And with all the statuses that come with that, that just don't come. But I know I'm going to leave a print on this earth that I wasn't selfish, that I wasn't, like, cool enough to think I'm so grandiose, because that's when we gag. And we got to always do research about all the girls that's dead. Why these bitches are dying so fast? So if we do some research, maybe that'll reduce the HIV and AIDS epidemic so we can kind of live for the future. Right now, we think about that effect. We got to think about that effect and that future. We're just so stuck in the now. I was stuck in the now, too, but in that now, I still wanted that trophy. So that means I still wanted more. So we got to do our research on the girls that walk these balls, question them, confront them. What is your reasons for walking balls, bitch? Are you what? Do you have the talent? Can you withstand these girls that's known and powerful for runway? If you can't, sit down. But we don't confront. We just let everybody just do what they want to do, which is a cool thing, but there's a matter of you giving. Girls, sit down for a minute and wait. Or let me help you. I'm not going to just let you debut on the floor and chop you and make you go down into depression mode. I'm going to snatch your ass off the floor before you get on there and go, girl, you know better. But we like to read. We like to kiki. So it's about the individual person that's making a change. God is watching everybody. So, bitch, you better show off for him. That's all I be doing every day, showing off for God. Even though I'm a negative kind of girl, because I be trying to battle my higher power. But that's just me and him battling each other. But other than that, I try to spread as much as I can in the world because I never had it. So it's a difference with me. I could have been selfish and go, oh, I'm so powerful and don't share. Bitch, I never had the shit that I was even expecting to have, so why not give it back? It's when I don't give it back, that's when you snatch it. So as long as I got it, I'm going to feel it. I'm going to walk my goals. I'm going to save the world. And that's me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mariah. But, R.R., what is your opinion on it?
The thing that bothers me the most sometimes is how everybody can say, oh, I can't stand RR. Oh, RR is so shady. And it's always the people who've never sat down with me, who's never had dinner with me, who has never been to my home, who knows nothing about me. All they know is what the next person says. You could have someone sitting next to you, and I could walk into a ball, and that young person sitting next to you could be, oh, that's the one I saw in the DVD. That's RR. I want to meet him. And then they say, do you know RR? Can you take me to meet him? Child, don't, child, she's shady. Don't even bother to talk to that child. You shut down somebody's dream. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, I've never done anything to anybody who didn't deserve it. So if you don't like me, either you don't like me because you did something and I put you in check, or you don't like me because I'm doing something that you wish you could do and you're not stepping up to the plate. But at the end of the day, my struggle is what kept me here. And my power that's greater than me has brought me out of shark-infested water so that I would not die on the beach and delivered me a chance to have two lives in one lifetime. And I'm not taking advantage of the fact that he has given me a second chance at life, because like Mariah said, there's many times that I should have been dead. So when I walk into a ball and I have that face like I don't give a fuck, it's not a face that I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Because at the end of the day, if you want what I have to offer and you are willing to let me give it to you, I will give it to you. But if you don't want it, I can keep it for myself, because God bless the child that has his own. And you remember the old saying, the suggestions you don't take now, you'll pay for later. There's not a chapter in the House of Chanel that any of those kids have not heard my voice at a reunion. I make sure that I sit down with every chapter at every reunion we have, and I get my floor time, and they get to ask me questions. I get to answer questions, and they call me, and I help them. But you know something? I'll help anybody that wants help. Anybody. because I'm here to mentor now. There's nothing else I can do in the ballroom scene anymore. My walking days are over. If I come out every now and then and hit the runway, it's just for fun. I don't care if I win or lose. It's just for fun because guess what? I got two legs and two arms that are still working, so why not hit the runway? But at the end of the day, I'm here to mentor. I'm here to help somebody. I really, 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 really genuinely love to help someone grow outside of the ballroom. If you want to be a designer, ask me about design school. If you want to be a hairstylist, makeup artist, fashion stylist, anything to do with the industry, that's my expertise area. No one can tell me that RR is shady because if you ask anybody, why is RR shady? They won't say anything but because he chopped me at a ball. There's nothing else they can say. And Jasmine, you and Mariah both are under me. I watch both of you grow.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you always tell it in your story, and I'm not using this to bark on, but you've been there for me, I've been there for you. Mariah's been there for me, I've been there for Mariah. My daughter, Simone, she'll be home soon, and I'll be there for her again because that's the kind of relationships I have with people. I don't hang out with butch queens. I hang out with straight people and femme queens.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why I don't hang out with butch queens? Because they don't like me.
Vanna, have you ever experienced some of the stuff that we're talking about with people, you know, always discrediting you as you're trying to help or people attach themselves to you?
Yeah, I'm a lot like Mariah. I'm a Scorpio. So my bloodline is to help. My bloodline is to speak. My natural mother is a very loud, boisterous, very in-your-face kind of person. So that's the kind of person I guess I adapted to, even though I didn't want to. And so I'm firm about, you know, speaking to my kids about HIV. I'm firm about them being sluts. I'm firm about them carrying on, you know. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I assert my power a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, to let them know, okay, you know, you're not going to try her, you know what I'm saying. But I've experienced it just like, you know, just like anybody else, but having about a lot of kids, you know, a long, long time. And it gets discouraging. It gets frustrating. But then I had to realize that I'm here for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And I'm here for a lot of my own kids to understand that you don't have to do the things that I've been through. I don't have the same story that most people have. You know, I had both parents in my house. I had, you know, both my parents had good jobs. They fought for us. And I still chose to do my own thing. I still chose to lay in a house with 16 of other drags, and we sit up under the cover with a blow dryer trying to get heat and then worn out to the stroll every night. You know, I've had my own heartless stories that I put myself through. And I've had friends that, you know, I tell my kids when they become new kids or they're babies, you know, I introduce them to some of my sisters and brothers that are sick or that are going through something or that depressed or even drug addicts, you know, not necessarily always one thing more than the other. And I try to introduce them to them so that they can see that, you know, if you don't listen, this is where you can be. You know what I'm saying? I didn't make it this far by just looking, you know, by just looking at the air. I made it this far by, you know, learning from people that were before me. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes the learning before you is a fight and a struggle, but it is something that is beneficial to you towards the end. So it's something that I go through with all my kids, all everywhere, all the time. So, yeah, it's a hard fight, but it's something that you should keep doing because you're going to say, if I can save one person, then I did what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Tanya, do you ever experience issues like that?
Well, I never had any gay children or anything like that. But, you know, it was kind of hard for me growing up as well. You know, my mom raised me by herself. And when she passed when I was 18, I kind of found myself kind of drifting off different places. And I pretty much had to keep, you know, because I didn't really have that much family. You know, once my mom passed, that was pretty much it. So it was like, well, I'm gay. It was so confusing for me, but I pretty much had to just teach myself a lot of things that I taught myself. And I'm kind of glad I stayed out of jail and stayed off drugs and things like that. And I wish I could express that to someone younger, you know, but, you know, these times, you know, the younger kids really don't listen. So it's like, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's definitely hard, but I wish I could, you know, teach someone, you know, because Mm-hmm. Some people go down a wrong path, and I wish I can teach someone, stay in school, stay off drugs, you know, keep a job, because, you know, I did. So, you know, without, you know, at 18, once my mom passed, that was it. So, you know, I didn't have nobody's help. You know, I had to stay off drugs and stay in school and keep a job all on my own at that young age till now. And I'm 28 now, and I, you know, I wish I could, you know, tell somebody my story so they won't have to go down that road of using drugs or messing their lives up. But, you know, these young kids, they really just don't listen. They don't want to listen. So it's kind of hard.
J-Rock, did you want to say anything about what we're talking about?
Well, I mean, believe it or not, I've had those experiences too. I would say with my own, like, blood, because, like I said, it's kind of hard. Like, when you grow up like me, I just have a real big heart for the youth or whatever. That's why I do the job that I do and chose the profession that I do. But you just don't know how it feels to go around and saving people's lives, actually, from getting them off the streets to, you know, people hitting you back on Facebook saying, hey, thank you for coming and showing me how to get in the Navy, showing me this, showing me that. Now I'm doing good. I don't have to be in no drug deals no more. And then your own blood not listen to you, you know, because, like I said, I'm second to the oldest, but my mom had 8 kids. We were all raised by my grandmother, and I pretty much raised my brothers and sisters. But, you know, I come home, and my little brother, he just wanted to go out there, be wild, straight-A student, everything, track and field star, had a full-ride scholarship to Baylor University, only to lose it all and get life in prison because he wants to play around with guns and everything and be a gangster where he know he wasn't raised as a gangster, just being rebellious. And at first I faulted myself, but then at the end of the day, I had to think about everything that I sacrificed to try my best to get it across to him, you know, that he knows what's right and he knows the right thing to do, and he still chose to go down that path with thugs and everything, ended up killing one of his best friends by accident. But, you know, when you get a court-appointed attorney and everything, and, you know, black folks like us, we ain't got no money to be hiring no Johnny Cochran team and everything. Now he has life in prison. All on a mistake, and he had a full-ride track and field scholarship to Baylor, but he wanted, so I applied it, and I tried to, even though that was my blood, I tried to apply it with my real, I mean, with my gay children. I only have 4, but every last one of them have careers, not just jobs, careers, something that they can stop at, you know, 40 or 50 and say, I'm done, and I got a retirement check, you know, and I try to keep it that way. And then in the ballroom scene, I try my best. Sometimes I show up to the house meetings in my uniform. I will vogue down in uniform with the kids just to show them I'm no better than you. When you get finished doing this, you can wake up in the morning and do something with your life too. Maybe not be in the military, but you can get you a job. You can do something. And like I said with my brother, I have empathy. I don't have sympathy. I understand what you're going through. I know you don't want to go through it, but I'm going to show you how. Let's find a solution. But if you choose to divert down a different path, I'm not just going to waste my breath and waste my time, because I still have to think about me too. If I don't take care of myself, how am I going to take care of anybody else?
Okay.
Jasmine, what about you?
Hold on. Let's ask Jason real quick, and then he can come to me. Jason, did you want to say anything about this?
There's a song that I live by Carolyn Taylor. There's a story behind my phrase, and I share that with my gay sons all the time. I share that with anyone that's willing to listen to my story, because, I mean, I have friends that when I came out at 16 that are not here now. And it's frightening and it's sad, because when I think back of memories of these people, and they're gone, and they're not here, and I just can remember when I would say, well, you got to go to school, and like, no, I'm cutting school today, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. I'm like, well, I'm going to school, and I just look at my blessings, and then to be cured from cancer, because I shouldn't be here today, but by the grace of God, I am, and I share that, and if anybody's willing to listen, You share your story, and if they don't hear it, they'll eventually hear it. It's sad because I have a cousin that is like 50-something years old, and his mother is 77, and he just came home from doing 15 years in prison.
And the one of the biggest, and I work in that industry where I get jobs for men and women that are coming home from prison that can't find anything. And for you to tell your mom that you can't find a job is just mess. And to have my 77-year-old aunt crying because her 50-something-year-old grown-ass son doesn't want to do anything with his life is just it's heartbreaking. And it's saddening that, like, you have grown men, you have grown women that don't want to do anything, and these are your family members, and then you try to, and you're better off, and you're out there helping people that aren't even attached to you, and you can't, and you try to show that same love and compassion to the people in your family, and they shun you, and it's just hard. That part is just heartbreaking to me. But all I can do is, for me, is I can just keep doing what I'm doing, and if I can help someone, as my grandmother would say, my living won't be in vain.
Go ahead, R.R. What were you saying before?
I was asking you, how do you feel about people when they talk about you and when you're doing so much mentoring to other people that aren't even a part of your circle and you put so much into them and then they don't appreciate it? How does that make you feel?
It bothers me to a certain extent, but, you know, I believe that every individual should have their own mind. So if you're going to sit here and let what someone else says or try to discredit someone, then bottom line is you're not strong enough, you know, you're just not strong enough anyway. So I don't let that, I mean, it gets to me a little bit, you know, I sit here and I listen or I read different posts or I hear comments that people make about, you know, me, you know, my status, or the, you know, the, even the radio show, you know, like tonight, Chad, I'm not listening to the show, don't nobody be, you know, ain't gonna be no callers or something like that. You know, some of the stuff gets to me a little bit, but then I'm like, what, you know, whatever. One thing that I do love is when I hear this from an individual. Damn, Jasmine. You know, they said this and that about you, but I'm so glad that I got to know you on my own because you are completely opposite of what they say or what they said about you. You know, next time if they start that reading and that talking and stuff like that, I'm going to read them because, you know, now I got to know you on my own. And I think that's what anyone should do. Don't let someone discredit the next individual. Still take the time, have your own mind, take the time to get to know that person because evidently there's something about that person that you want to know. That's why you brought it up. And take the time to get to know them. Don't let the next person just control how you feel because the next person, you know, we live in a society now where there's so much hatred, so much jealousy, so much, you know, so much going on that could be the only reason why they're discrediting someone. Take the time to get to know them because you'll never know unless you know. You know, I don't never let no one say, oh, don't be around RR or don't go to RR, don't go to this one or don't go to that one. Take the time, and then I'll just make my own opinion after. So, you know, that's what I love when a person says, oh, wow, I'm glad I got to speak with you or you seem different or you're not what they said, or, you know, little things like that. That's how I feel about it, in all honesty.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of negativity. And what gets me about the negativity is when it comes from the same people, your same, the people that you came out with, the people from your generation, the people that you participated with and you shared this with, or, you know, and you're talking to the youth. You're talking to the ones that are growing up. And, you know, I just don't get that. And it's like they haven't grown up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's evidently they haven't grown up if they got so much to say about the next person. Because, you know, I just don't understand it. You know, but again, I don't let it control me at all.
Well, me personally, I built up such a strong shell to just pay stuff no mind now. You know, it's like I'm immune to anything anyone says to me because I know what I'm coming home to, and I know that, you know, I take care of me. So whatever you're saying about me to anyone else, it doesn't affect me because you're only blocking your blessings. That's all that is.
I have a question for RR and Jasmine and Mariah. The only house that I guess I would consider myself a 007 because I walked away from my house to finish high school and to go to college. For someone in my position that still stayed attached to the ballroom through my friends, but want to give back, but because of such the negativity that I hear that I brush off, but I hear it because it's the same stuff that was there when I first came out in the 90s, what would you say to someone like me?
I would say don't let that hinder you. If you feel in your spirit that it's a calling for you to come out and help somebody or mentor somebody, then you have to do that because your spirit will move you in a direction that you want to go. Don't allow the negative thinking to stop you from doing the positive thing that your spirit is feeling, because a lot of times we and I don't want to get too deep into spirituality,
right?
A lot of times we don't allow our spirit to guide us. We let our flesh guide us, and it's not always about the flesh. When you feel motivated to look at somebody and say, I need to go over and say something to this person, that's what you should do.
And that's Jason speaking, right?
Yes.
You know, Jason, you know, even though it's a little different because you did it for school and stuff, I did it for my life, but I went through the same thing, very similar. Well, not the same thing, but very similar, where I had to realize that I was living a life and I seen it going in a very dark direction and I had to stop. And that's what I did. I stopped and left the ballroom scene for a little bit to get my life together. And that's what I did for a few years. Coming back into the scene, not forgetting where I came from, doing the things that I did, as far as the ballroom scene goes, the money that I put back into the ballroom scene, put into the ballroom scene to help change lives, to give people something to look forward to focus on and things of that sort. I did that from my heart because I know how my life has changed and I wanted to give back. Now, over the past few years, ever since I've been back in the ballroom scene, there has been a lot of times where so many things have just pushed me away and said, I don't even want to be bothered. I don't want to do it, child. This is a mess. Why do I do the things that I do? Why am I even involved? And then I think about it, and like I said, it's like, you know, your spirit. I follow what's inside of me saying, but still do it. Because, you know, don't let one or don't let a group or don't let certain things that are happening, because one thing I've learned over the years is, you know, one bad apple may spoil a bunch, but there's still, you know, there's innocent individuals in there. And just because certain individuals are doing certain things or saying certain things, what about the people that aren't?
Right.
What about the people that may need it? You know, and like Lana said it, I've said it, we've all said it. You know, if it's just helping one person, one group, one house, one individual, fuck everybody else. You know, just help that one if you can. And I'll feel satisfied knowing that I helped one person, or I changed the life of one person, even if it was for a day, an hour, a bill, or anything. I helped someone. I gave them that one thing to help them. So that's the way I look at it. Don't give up, even though it can still, with everything we see every day, and it's been happening for years, but everything we see every day on Facebook, on Twitter, what we hear on the radio shows, what we see at the balls, what we hear on the recaps, you know, everything we see, it's like, child, I don't even want to get on Facebook. I don't even want to read a news feed no more. I'm tired of seeing these pictures. I'm tired of hearing about these scandals. I'm tired. Child, I'm leaving it alone. But yet, I'm still here, and I'm still a part of it. So evidently, something inside of me says keep going, and that's what I do.
Okay.
And you know something? I'm going to just say that I wasn't going to ever share this, but I had always wanted to start a group. Like, you know how y'all have all these groups online and stuff? And I always wanted to start a group called Frontliners, and it's for people who want to go out and just mentor to, you know, someone in the gay community. It don't even have to be someone in the ballroom scene, but just, you know, a young individual who just wants to have, like, a big brother or big sister, a mentor, and it's like Frontliners, and we go out and we mentor them and we help them. And then, you know, we come back online and we talk about it. We post their pictures, let other people know that this person is doing this and this person is doing that. He just got into high school and he's doing this and he's doing that. Just, you know, just I just felt like this is something that I wanted to try to do. But the more I get on the shows and the more I hear that's going on in the scene and stuff like that, I get so discouraged that I just be like, you know what, don't even bother. Mm-hmm. And it's and it's really bad to have to think like that, you know, because at the end of the day, your spirit wants you to do so much to change things. But you know what, you can't change anything until people are ready to change. And a lot of people are just not open-minded enough to change.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. J-Rock, anything you wanted to touch up on? We are coming up on the closing of the show, so anything you wanted to touch up on with tonight's topic?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, I actually appreciate people like RR and you too, Jazz, because one thing that I can tell you guys, I know that it may get tiring and everything, but the negativity, I always feel like there's going to be more negative people out there than there's going to be positive people. But good will always override evil anytime. Just like you said, when you had to leave and get yourself together or whatever, and you know, you came back, I don't care what people say. They're still listening to the show. People are going to put in the chat room what they want to put in the chat room. They're going to read because, oh, the show is late. Don't nobody want to hear this. But they're still listening, especially when they're by themselves. Because they know that they're going through something and they need what they're hearing, because the truth is the truth and the truth is going to set them free. And as with RR in that front, if that's something that you want to do, I don't care if you start off with one. You do that one and you keep going and you keep going, because if that's something you want to do and you see that it's successful, no matter what comes your way, I feel like no matter what comes my way, that try to deter me from doing what I need to do in life, I know the outcome, and I am the one that's going to make it fail or make it successful, whether somebody read it or whether, you know, just keep the positive mind, because, like I said, people, it's people that know your past, people that don't know your past. And like I said, like Jasmine said, you know, I hate when people do stuff like that. Oh, you don't want to hang. Oh, they late child, they this and they child, they that. That's called immaturity, because you're supposed to find out somebody for yourself. And from what I know, from Jasmine Couture and from RR, these are two people that really care about what's going on, not in the, only in the ballroom community, but just in, you know, the youth period. But, like I said, people that knew you guys before I even knew you, they're going to try. You don't know what you're gonna, let me find out what I find out. Okay, because I'm grown. So if I was y'all, I would stick with what y'all doing, because my thing is y'all doing a lot, because I love it. They can say kiss ass or whatever, but I love you guys for who you are, not for no ballroom or nothing like that, but for these Wednesday nights and these topics, that's some deep shit. And if they read it, they know they're listening. If you don't want to hear it, hang up the phone. Get off the freaking line. Why are you still in the chat room? You're still in the chat room. Why? Because you're listening. So keep it going, because they're going to read until, like you said, my grandmother always told me this, take heed to what I say. You may not remember everything I'm saying now, but when that situation comes, you're going to revert back to what they were talking about on the Tens and Chops on Wednesday night, and you will know how to, you know, get out of a situation or go through something, because everything we do is just like testimonies, whether it's talking about, you know, like we had the sex thing and we were being real and all that. Everything is still a testimony for some young person out there in this scene, and they don't know how to do what they're doing or whatever they're doing, but stay safe and get to R. Chanel's age or get to Jasmine Couture's age. You see what I'm saying? So I would advise y'all to keep it moving.
This is what I mean about we should learn how to agree to disagree. Now, just because I said what I said about London earlier, She just took me out of her group. I don't know London from a can of paint. I don't know what that child looked like. I don't know who he or she is. But guess what? I'm all right with that. Because now that just means that that's one less person that I ever have to talk to again. But at the end of the day, it was so unnecessary. But now, back to the reality of life. Life goes on. And this radio show on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesday, you got to have a thick skin to get on these shows every night and deal with the shit that comes through here. I only been doing this for 2 months.
That's so true.
And that's why I give Kelly Couture her props for doing it for 3 fucking years. Because,
oh, really?
Bitch, y'all are not the ones that's on here tonight, but y'all listeners, some of y'all out there, y'all's a piece of work.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, definitely are.
Well, I mean, you know what? One thing I say about the show as well, and I've said this for years, why do I do these shows? Why have I supported the shows? Why have I guided Kelly throughout the years? Why have I kept my name attached to it? It's because I feel that for those few hours that people are listening, like right now. And I also feel that also why summer's coming up now and we take our breaks. But in the wintertime, you have people who are sitting at home and they aren't doing anything. For those hours, your mind can be at a place right now where you just had a bad day. You're going through some type of issues with your family, your biological family, something at work, anything that is happening with school, personal attacks, bullying, you know, you're going through a transition and it's not going the way you want. You're still having problems within your sexuality, your lifestyle, or whatever, and you're sitting at home by yourself or with people who are fake or whatever, or however whatever you're going through, at least it gives you a few hours to listen to something. It gives you a few hours to take your mind away from the problems. It just gives you those hours to help you where you're not alone. You're not going through something by yourself. Or, you know, you're sitting there, you can be getting in trouble. Someone called a few weeks ago and said, all I do is drink, drink, drink. But, you know, now I listen to the show and it eases me a little bit. You know,
mm-hmm.
I get so many personal messages mm-hmm. from people that call, you know, that send me messages, thank you so much for the show. It helps me. Even when regular recaps and stuff, you know, just, you know, not being able to go to balls, it helps people to feel like they were there. You know, these are the reasons why. All the drama that comes along with it, the personal attacks, all the back and forth stuff, okay, it comes with the territory. But bottom line is
mm-hmm.
it's not as bad as it always looks to other people. And that's the reason why I
Jasmine, there's someone right now in one of those 16 and under residents under their covers with their
mm-hmm.
cell phone listening to this show
mm-hmm.
and they're saying that, oh, there is somebody out there that understands me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
That's what makes me continue to say, okay, I can deal with this a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're 100% right. I get calls from people, not calls. I get messages from people who live all the way out in West Bubblefuck somewhere. You know, they don't get to come out to balls, or they're living in a community where, you know, they can't be themselves. But they love the radio show just as much as they love YouTube, just as much as they love, you know, the videos up there of all the balls and Facebook and everything, so forth and so on. But they love to actually hear live callers call in to be a part of the show, to hear so much, to hear that, you know, oh, wow, there is a life out there, and, you know, I can't wait to get to it. Sometimes people, though, it does push people away, like, child, this is exactly why I don't want to be a part of this ballroom scene. This is why I don't want to come back to this ballroom scene. This is why I gave up on the ballroom scene, because they hear it as well. But again, you have to follow within you, follow within your heart, you know, and again, don't let just,
you know, don't let all that stuff push you away. Unless you can hear it. You know, if you can't handle it, then okay. But, you know, that's how it goes.
It's just, you know, it's just sometimes people have to understand that there are people out here that really care. And all you have to do sometimes is just walk up to a person and introduce yourself. You know, it doesn't cost anything. It really doesn't.
That's true.
You know, it does not cost anything. And I'm one of those people that I'm not perfect, and I can listen to criticism just so, like I'm so into recovery, like, because I have 26 years sobriety, and I use for 10 years. So that should tell y'all something right there. But I truly believe that if you just let someone beat you down, you can always beat somebody down. But after you finish beating them down, you have to patch them up. You can't leave them wounded. Because when you leave them wounded, then what happens is they take you out their group. So you can't leave them wounded.
You said that. Why do you keep attacking RR?
He can't help
it. Excuse me?
He can't help it.
What happened? What did I do now?
You're throwing lugs at the car as it drives down the street.
Sometimes that old school, just kicks in, and I just don't know what to do with it.
But let me say something, Jasmine, real quick, talking about the rest of the show. I do apologize for the hostility that came across my voice when we were having a Femme Queen conversation. But I'm a girl in transition that fought for a long time to be in transition when no one thought that I should, when no one gave me the credit that I deserved. And I know how it is sometimes for people to downplay you or downplay the things that you're doing, and it makes it difficult for the fight that you're trying to obtain. So sometimes I might come off brash because I come from a different era of growth where, you know, I ask questions after I, you know, do what I have to do. But I do understand what some people think. But if we take the time to understand each other and take the time to not be so much as judgmental as trying to figure out the different things, because nobody can understand, no butch queen can understand, you know, the struggles that me or someone like Mariah or someone like Jasmine has been through in trying to be a girl and trying to be living in society as well. But sometimes it comes off harsh or brash, but it comes off as to me, it's a sincerity of what I am and what I'm fighting to be every single day. And, you know, so many people, we have people in straight society telling us how we should act and think. Then we go into where we, quote unquote, believe is our comfort zone, which is our houses and our, you know, the gay bars and our butch queen friends, and they're trying to tell us how to act. So everybody's telling us what to do, but nobody's understanding where we're coming from. So that's why I want people to really understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, again, apologize.
Well, thank you, Vonna.
And you see how you did that? That's how we need to always, like, in politics, that's how they end. You know what I'm saying? People, they have a big debate, and before the debate is over, everybody comes back to a civil tongue and an understanding of each other, and then it's more of a spiritual connection.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
I mean, and I can say this to you, that there are things about the Femme Queens that I don't understand. And it's not for me to understand, but it's for me to respect you and to treat you and to put you on the pedestal that you belong on. And maybe in my mind, and in my mind, in 2020 hindsight, what I see is what I see because that's how I want to see you, but that may not be how you want to be seen.
Right. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult coming from, you have to remember that we were still butch queens, too. Some queens didn't have major butch queen lives. I was one who was very active as a butch queen, and then I became very active as a girl. So, you know, sometimes even people in my situation, it's difficult. It's a lot easier for some girls who, you know, had a minuscule butch queen life to, you know, go into that cunt life and get this extra life. You know, you never understand someone's backstory, definitely when it becomes a girl. an old white queen at a center long time ago. She looks just like a big truck driver white man. But, you know, she read us so fiercely one time at this transition group. She said, you know, a lot of you look like women and you act like women and you're pretty. She said, but when you pull out your ID, it has a boy name on it. It says M. She said, it says M. She said, being in transition is in your mind, not how people see you and not what people think about you, but what you think out of your own head. You know, she said, my name is Kathy. She said, you can say what I look like. She said, you can talk about me like a dog. She said, but my credit card says Kathy. My home says Kathy. She said, and my husband calls me Kathy when we lay down at night. You know, and but here we are looking at, you know, we look like
yes.
And, you know, and all of us look, thinking we're giving it. And this woman in nationality is giving it to us. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about a mental thing when it comes to your transition. And I never forgot that. That was many years ago when I spoke to her. And I never forgot that. And I tell even my own kids that when it comes to them disrespecting girls or them dealing with it, because I don't deal with transsexual girls, with transsexual daughters, only sons.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to teach them how to be, to treat a girl. But, you know, it's in my mind. It's how I feel. It's about what I think when I wake up. It's about what I see in the mirror. It's not about what everybody else perceives me to be. Because if I have to live how you perceive me to be, then I'll be fucked up already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And,
go ahead.
Tanya is so silent. Did you want to touch upon anything real quick? Did you want to make any closing statements?
Oh, I had a really, really great time on the show tonight. R.R. and Jasmine, I really respect you as icons and legends in the ballroom scene. The topics tonight were phenomenal. I really enjoyed myself, and I hope we can do it again.
I will definitely be back next week on that. Thank you so much, Tanya. I don't want nobody to go anywhere because I got a little like R.R. said, a little closure. But, Vonna, again, thank you so much for everything as well.
Of course.
As always. Jason, thank you so much for sitting with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And I always appreciate it. And J-Rock as well, I want to say thank you, too.
No problem, Jazz.
Okay, you guys all have a good weekend. But nobody go nowhere. RR.
I just want to say good night to everybody.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to close. You know,
okay. I thought you were telling me to close. All right. Go ahead.
I come every time you come around my London Bridge. Wanna go down like London. Wanna go down like London. Mouth, you're in vogue. You have to vogue like a lady. Let me show you. Cut.
Lovey.
London, you're on.
Hello, I'm here. Hello.
I'm here.
Can you
guys
put a little closer to this big debate?
No, you know, I simply, you know, removed you from the kitchen because you could not take the heat.
I just
I
just feel like we're too grown for that. Either we can have a sense of humor and read on a humor level and still know that we can be cool with each other.
Everyone reads each other in that room. It's just some get read more than others, but you know.
But we are co-hosts.
Go ahead. You want to be on the show with me, so you know my room is a part of me, so. You don't want to be a part of me, so I'll have to kick you out. It's no show.
Well, I've been homeless before.
Aww.
I can't do it. I just can't. I'm too old for this. I can't do it. I wish you the best.